This week, Toyota decides that its legacy in racing games should not continue to be Yaris and resumes licensing their cars. Get your Supra on in Forza Horizon 4 soon. This is just one headline from the week in gaming news. Stay tuned for the rest, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 799 for this November the 24th of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined as always by Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Sup?
Hi, how are you?
I'm here.
Glad to have you here as always. Yeah. Thank you for bringing a refill on the coffee supplies tonight. Appreciate that.
I thought it was something better than what I grabbed, but I'm glad it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, it was like this. It wasn't like coffee beans. It was like a mix thing that was like mocha mix. It's pretty good.
No, it was not bad.
Coffee powers, OLR. Unless you're Techmaster Loki over there to my side here.
Yes.
In which case, sugar-free Red Bull is what powers Loki.
Sure.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah? Good, good. Yep. All right, we are live on Twitch TV over twitch.tv/VOG Network or VOG Network for the Voice Geeks Network, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern-ish, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. I say ish because if he has a long show, if he has a lot to talk about, like he did tonight, he loves his VR stuff. So today was – or this week was a pretty big week in AR, I think. We're going to get right into that here at the top of the show. But we do tape live, of course, right after Bobby does at the Voice of Geeks Network. And we invite you guys to participate along with our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. But if you're listening on the podcast feed, hey, that's great too. We appreciate all the support. I should say as well, tonight is, as you may notice, episode number 799, which means next week, which is – bound to be a slow news week, which is a I'm not even sure we should really be doing a show next week, but we will. We're going to be here because the holiday and because the holiday in the U.S. So for the Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S., many people travel and go places. It's a big eating dinner together type of holiday. But unless you're me, then you go out and eat with your significant other and your dad. That's it. Three of us going out. But do you know where we're going this year? Actually, we're going to the local Brazilian Grill for Thanksgiving. So in addition...
Oh, the fire and flame?
Yeah, in addition...
Dan and I had an anniversary there once.
Yeah, in addition to the meat parade that they have there, they have all the fixins for Thanksgiving. So I'm hoping... Ooh. Yeah, I'm hoping they get the giant turkey on the sword.
And grilled pineapple.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I should have done that, but then my wife decided... See, we were going to have Thanksgiving without family, and then one of the family asked... And I said no, because the plan was we're not having Thanksgiving with the family. Then one of her family asked, and she said yes.
You know what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving? Not cooking. Letting someone else do it.
I have to do a bunch of baking.
Do you?
Because like I was like, they're like, oh, they want us to bring some. Like, okay, I'll make some roast potatoes, and I'll make my cranberry sauce. Dan's like, they want you to bake. I'm like.
So they're open on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, a lot of restaurants open on Thanksgiving. And a big thank you to the staff for doing that, because I know we see a lot of crap this time of year about retail workers working on Thanksgiving, which, I don't like shopping at all this weekend because it's parking lots. Parking lots are hell on earth. I'm not doing it. So, and I realize there's the whole controversy with workers and everything. But the reality is there are a lot of people that work on Thanksgiving. Emergency personnel, people who work at gas stations.
I just don't think fucking people should be working, during Thanksgiving lunch.
Yeah. So hopefully they have a nice way to split it up or something. So thank you to all the restaurant people out there and folks that do work Thanksgiving. They don't want to be. I remember one year we asked the server, are you sad you have to be – I think we said it more tastefully than that. But we're kind of like, how do you feel about working here Thanksgiving? And they were like, I don't mind it because the tips are great today. So not everybody. So hopefully many folks out there get to do it by choice and aren't forced to, or at least those that are forced to have a way to still enjoy the holiday however you like. Anyway, maybe enjoying the holiday for you is a marathon video game session where you finally get to catch up on your backlog. Show of hands, who's binging Pokemon Sword or Shield, Death Stranding, any of the other new releases that came out in the past week or so? Or the past month, past year. How many of you guys are going to binge those this weekend?
My advice, go outside.
Well, you could do both.
Yes, take it with you. You're on a Switch.
That's true.
Why aren't you playing a Switch?
That's right. I can go play Pokemon Shield at the park. Why not? Anyway.
But you know that thing's going to be on me all the time when Animal Crossing comes out.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Anyway, let's start off the show tonight with our kickoff topic. I'm talking about a game that sadly will not be portable because the technology is not really there to make a setup like this go portable. But Loki, do you want to start us off here talking about what just got announced this
yes.
week?
So
did the ceiling open up and did microphones fall from the
no,
ceiling?
No, because this is not the same.
Okay.
Not the same. So we got a brand new Half-Life trailer for a game called Half-Life Alyx. Wanted to say Alexa, but I didn't. So Half-Life Alyx, and it's going to be a brand new VR game that's coming out in March of next year. And it looks pretty cool. It takes place between the first and second Half-Life games. And yeah, I mean, that's all I know. I'm a terrible person because I've never played a Half-Life game despite, well, they just sit idly collecting dust with the rest of my backlog that's in my Steam library. And yes, I would like to say that, well, now we got the Thanksgiving break. Maybe I can go play those games. But I know better that I'm never going to do that. So I'll play it someday.
Yeah, I must admit. Go ahead.
It's not enough to make me want to play it because it's VR. Mm-hmm. I won't play it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll totally play it for VR, but like, I don't know.
I have not really gotten into Half-Life, the Half-Life series myself. I'm kind of in your boat, Loki. Like, I have some of the games, especially because of the Orange Box. Actually, no, I did play when the Orange Box came out. I remember trying to play Half-Life, but I didn't really get, like, absorbed into it. But my husband loves Half-Life, and I'm sure you all are very curious for Alan's thoughts. We will get those thoughts later in the program. He's out on an errand right now. He'll be back around 7 o'clock. So he's the resident Half-Life stan here in this house. We will get his thoughts a little later in the show. However, I can still appreciate, for what it's worth, I was very taken with how good it looked. Like, I thought the graphics
It's the new Source engine.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a big part of it is because, you know, we haven't had a new official Valve game in a long time. Like, a long time. I should say, like, a mainline Valve game. Because I know you could throw the Dota card game thing at me. Or, you know, the fact that they've been working on the VR, the palette of games that comes with HTC Vive and so forth. Those experiences. But I mean, like a mainline freaking game. You know, I don't think there's really been one of those since what? Like, Dota 2 would probably be the closest, or even maybe Portal 2. Those games were a long time ago.
I don't remember what came out last. Was it Dota 2, or was it they did like a VR mini experience thing for the HTC
like,
Vive?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is the VR thing for the HTC Vive, but I don't count that, because that's essentially, it's not like a mainline game, you know what I mean?
I'm glad that Source 2 is out finally, because then other people that want to make games in that can maybe now mod stuff into it.
Well, and so I feel like what's probably taken a long time for Valve to make a new, like, main game, if you will, is the fact that it's the Source engine that they've been working on, and now, you know, presumably, I don't think we've had it confirmed unless one of you guys knows different, but presumably this Half-Life Alyx is running on some semblance of a Source engine part 3, which...
Is it 3 or 2?
Or 2. I don't know anymore.
They don't go to 3. That's how you know.
Okay. The newest Source engine, excuse me.
It's going to be Source engine Alyx when it goes to 3.
But I got to say, it looked really good. And honest to God, my gut reaction was, man, I wish I could play this with a mouse and keyboard because it looks like a really nice game, but I don't know if it's going to be enough for me to jump to VR on PC. Like, I like VR. I have PlayStation VR, and I like some of the things I've checked out with that, but I'm not sure for one game in a series I'm kind of on if I want to jump into PC VR, especially because I feel like the way technology is progressing, the VR is just getting like better and better. I don't know. I'm a little bit torn. I guess I mean,
you could just probably borrow my Oculus Rift. I mean,
well, if you're offering, now we're talking. There's a way to enjoy it without having to drop all that money on a, you know, PC.
Because it's just
VR
sitting
system.
In a box right now. I mean, yeah. I eventually plan on bringing it out again, but it's sitting in a box right now because really the only space I have to play the Rift is in the kitchen. And
yeah,
it's not always convenient to do that.
But anyway, from looking at the trailer, honestly, that was my gut reaction, was like, hey, this game looks like really good. Like, if this is the engine that Valve is working on now, I hope they're going to use this to make...
Can we get another orange box? Another orange box, please.
Well, or make another Portal. Make another Left 4 Dead. Make another... Or if they are insistent on not ever counting to three with one of their franchises, making a new experience that uses the engine, I think would be really cool.
License that shit out to other people to make your games. Then. Yeah.
So that was my honest-to-God reaction to the trailer. I was like, neat. Too bad I'm not going to spend the money to play this, but dang, if that's where Valve is at right now, I hope they churn out some more games with that. That's honest-to-God my reaction.
Well, why would you work on an engine if you're not going to use it? I mean, they're going to at the very least license it out to other companies to make games. Well, why develop an engine if you're going to make one game for it?
You would hope, but at the same time, that EA engine can go... What is it, Frostbite? What is it?
Yeah, but they use it for every single goddamn game that they have.
It needs to die in a fire.
It doesn't need to die in a fire. It's just they should stop forcing everybody to use
it. It's pretty good for Dragon Age Inquisition.
Yeah, but like you've heard the horror stories about how some games trying to work with that, like, you know, that engine is part of the reason why Mass Effect Andromeda came up way short of what they really wanted to do. Like, Mass Effect Andromeda was supposed to be like Mass Effect No Man's Sky, but it wasn't. I mean, if rumors are to be believed, but you can tell that Mass Effect Andromeda, like, it's disjointed, and I think that's what I mean.
Man,
this narrative would certainly
explain. If it's like
why.
Mass Effect No Man's Sky, those sex scenes are going to be some fucking weird shit. That's all I guess. It's like, I don't know what it's doing.
All right. Let me look at some comments in our chat. Kaijudo in chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork says they could have skipped Half-Life and went for a Portal VR. That would have been so freaky. I worry about, like, you know, already we know Dark Sakura is not the biggest fan of VR because she gets motion sick pretty easy. And when I think of a game like Portal in VR, I'm going like, I would get motion sick.
They had a
with
game.
All the, that
they
stuff.
had what wasn't VR. It was a version of Portal that used the motion controllers, though.
This is what Bobby's talking about. Valve actually did license a Portal VR experience.
Oh, well, also they had that. I want to say it was for the PlayStation 3, was a DLC or something like that that used the PlayStation Move controllers. Maybe they had something similar to that on the PC as well, but there was something that did that. It was kind of eh.
Let's see. Other comments in chat. The Breakman in chat says, Alex looks so good, it makes me drool. Is that a problem? No, you are free to like what you like. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are very excited about this. I'm not saying I'm not excited. I'm more excited for the engine than I am the game, if that makes sense. That's where I'm at. And so, and to your point, it looks good. Yeah, it looks good. That's why I'm like, ooh, I wonder what else they're going to do in this. I wonder if they're going to make keyboard and mouse, you know, more traditional games for this, or what else is going to be possible with this. But I also completely understand, like, whereas I am of the mindset where I'm like, damn, I would love to play this if it was keyboard and mouse. And I'm sure some type of hacker is going to make that happen where you, I mean, but not to say it's going to be any fun that way, because I'm sure there's going to be certain, you know, kind of like how the Wii U shows off the Wii U, the touchpad, and how the Wii games, you know, I think there's going to be things in it that aren't going to work per se on keyboard and mouse. So even though a hacker might hack it to run on a monitor, like, is it gonna be the same? Probably not. You're probably gonna get very soon to a place you get stuck, unless hackers work on bypasses or something that's probably gonna take too much effort, honestly. That probably isn't worth their time. But anyway, I completely understand why Valve, because they have entered this VR space with, I almost said Oculus Rift, with HTC Vive, whatever, one of them. Valve has entered that space. I understand, you know, they've got to back that up by throwing the weight of one of their mighty franchises behind it and really doing what they can to get it moving, you know, get the sales moving, get people excited about VR. So this is what they're doing. They're doing the first Half-Life game in Lord knows how long since whenever the Orange Box came out, which was probably 13, 14 years ago at this point, maybe even further back than that. This show was going when it came out. I remember that because...
Well, right, it was Xbox 360.
Yeah, it was... So... it's, I think it was 2005.
No, 2005 was still the Xbox. 2007, maybe.
Okay,
that was around the launch of the PlayStation 3.
And
it was a
that was
a
when
holiday.
Our podcast switched to being about all games and not just music based games.
I'm pretty
so
sure
that
it was
sounds about right.
Like fall of 2017.
That sounds, or you mean 2007?
2007.
But that's still 12 years ago. You know, it's a long, long time since the, you know, the orange box.
Because I remember selling it.
The Breakman in chat says, orange box, great game, bad name. I wonder if that's what people say about this podcast. Bobby Blackwolf either went to Wiki or just knows off the top of his head, October 2007. So you're
in. Hey, I was close.
Was right, yeah. So there you go. YYR says, how would you even hack in keyboard and mouse controls for something like use your hands to clear the shelf? Yeah, that YYR, that's where I think it would get stuck a little bit. But then Bobby follows that up. Use mouse to look at object, hold E, move mouse to move object. Like, they could do it, but will a hacker want to go to that kind of effort? I don't know. And to be honest, like, if Valve is building this through VR, then they want you to experience it in VR, and they're building, like, it's not just going to be a normal
FPS. Just do it like they do with the, there's a, like, a, I forget what the spell is in Elder Scrolls Skyrim, but there's a spell where you can pull objects towards you. Just do it like that. Just look in the general direction of something, just pull it towards you.
Now, I will say this, because this was an interesting little debate I saw in Discord, which I think was actually in Bobby Blackwolf's channel, but I'm going to steal it, because it was still our Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. There's a lot of talk about the hands and the way that the hands look in the trailer and in what we've seen so far, because the hands are kind of disembodied. You don't actually see arms. You just see these floating hands, and some people thought that was a little weird. I kind of think it looks I don't think it looks weird either. I think it looks like pretty much any Wii game I ever played, that would try to be somewhat realistic, had the disembodied hands as well. I don't think it's a big deal. Like, I get where the mindset is, because everything we do in gaming is one step closer to the holodeck, right? Everything we do in gaming is one step closer to the holodeck. So if you want the holodeck, then you got to be able to see your hands, right? But I also understand, and to Bobby's credit on his show, and he even used Twitch to give the full thing, like, this is why you don't see hands, because the game can, the way VR is today, it cannot track your hands. It doesn't know if you're turning just your wrist or if you're turning your entire elbow. Like, the game doesn't know that unless they were selling these full body tracking suits. So the technology's there. But, like, is the technology in every home? God, no. That technology is only the type of thing you see in those commercials where dudes are running on treadmills and you see the neon, you know, lights all over in that place. That's where that technology exists. It's not in people's homes yet. Will it be in people's homes in 10 years? Maybe. Decade challenge. What my video games look like today and what they look like in 2029. Who knows? But for now, we just have the disembodied hands, but I don't think it looks bad.
No, who cares?
I don't. In fact, I kind of actually.
That's what modders are for. If you really want to mod in stupid elbows, then go right ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, well, I kind of like the fact that they're see through because, you know, especially since the game is all about the visuals. Like, you know, if my big old hands were in the
actually,
shot, it'd be kind
of
take.
I want it to go the opposite. I want them to mod it in so that instead of your hands being there, it's just feet. It's just your feet.
I want to see a mod called 45 where your hands are there. They're just very tiny. Very tiny.
It's like
the tiniest hands.
It's like the big head mode, but like big hands mode.
Giant head, tiny hands. All right, anyway.
One tiny hand, one big
easy
hand.
Easy joke. I had to take the swing. You just couldn't see my hands when I did the swing. All right, anyway.
Well, I would rather, though, just not play a throw-up game.
You not rather not play what?
A throw-up game.
Oh.
That's what VR games are to me. They're throw-up games.
So, well, let me ask you this. Since you aren't a big VR person, and I know that, what would you do if the next, like, because you are a big fan of the Portal series. Like, I know Half-Life you're kind of ambivalent on, like, you know, like Loki, like myself. But what if the next Portal game was VR?
I won't play it.
You're not going to play it?
Not at all.
Yeah. Are you going to watch playthroughs or would you just kind of be like, I'm out?
Watching it played on a smaller screen with stuff around it may not make me as sick. That's why I watched the Danganronpa thing and it was okay. But I don't want to. If it were on my head, I would be sick. It would screw with my eyes almost any time I get a migraine. And it just screws with my depth perception. I cannot do it. It's not at this point. I won't do it because I don't want the consequences.
Okay.
So it's, people say, oh, I can't do it. Well, I can, I physically can put it on my head and watch it.
Yeah.
But there will be consequences, and the consequences aren't worth it.
I remember you've done some minor VR things when you kind of like knew a lot about it in advance. Remember there was the last GamerX that we went to.
I like that something. One little thing because it didn't make me so sick. But then like something like 5 minutes after taking it off of my head started to hurt and my eyes were like doing that weird kind of after image thing. So, I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was a great experience and it was a neat little game.
What about something like Beat Saber that you're kind of like nothing's really moving?
It's still trying to do a 3D environment that my eyes are trying to translate.
And even for me, like I like VR. I appreciate VR. But like remember I was trying to play Skyrim in VR? And I say trying because I didn't get all the way through it, but I played a pretty good chunk of it. My problem was I could play for maybe like 45-minute clumps. And then like when I was getting to about 45 minutes, I was going, all right, I need a break. You know, I need to take this off my head and have a little bit of a break, which is probably a good thing. You're not supposed to do with any game hours and hours long session without taking a break.
I saw someone play Minecraft for 24 hours in VR. That was...
Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
Yes.
Was he taking breaks?
He did sleep.
Okay, well, that's good.
But he did play a total of 24
hours. Yeah. So, all right, anyway. And Bobby reaffirming with as much of a VR fan and advocate as he is, he says, I won't ever try to convince Darksoccer to do more VR. She tried it and felt ill effects. I'd rather her be healthy than play anything in VR.
I look at it as a green eggs and ham kind of thing. You know, they spend the whole story trying to convince him, and the dude likes it, but the same thing. You can't officially say that you don't like something until you've tried it. And like I said, I enjoyed the stuff that I've done.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it to me.
So you get it for other people. You just don't get it for yourself.
Yeah. Other people, if you have fun with it, do it. Great. Good for you. Huzzah. You know, while you've got the thing on your head, I'll just go run off with all of your coffee. And yay.
All right. Anyway.
And keep in mind, I had a Virtual Boy. Dear Lord.
Well,
that's kind of different. I mean,
for what it's worth, I can already see like where things are going, because here we are getting closer and closer to March 2020. March 2020 March 2020 is going to be a hell of a gaming month. And I can tell you what's going to happen. Darksoccer is going to be over here. She's going to be playing her Animal Crossing brand new. Bobby Blackwolf is going to be all about this Half-Life Alyx thing and talking all about it on his show in the VR. Myself, I will be consumed with the Final Fantasy VII remake, and I'm going to be playing the shit out of that.
Oh, is that coming out in March?
And Loki will still not be working on his game.
I work on my game every week.
Remember,
I will have you know.
If you give me proof that you finished it right before midnight on the first of the year, I'll buy you a pizza.
I don't need you to buy me a pizza. They're like $5. I bought a pizza today.
I'll make you a pizza.
Ooh.
Handmade everything.
Okay, so what? I only made that joke because A, it's easy, and B, I don't know what.
And I'm
going
to tell your wife I'll do it because she will want some.
Hold on. I don't know what in March 2020 is like calling you.
Oh, nothing right now, but April 2020 is Cyberpunk, so I'm down with that. But
that's right, Cyberpunk.
But okay. I don't know. Mark, I'm sure there's something, you know.
Yeah.
Here's hope for a Saints Row announcement. Come on! Awards right around the corner.
Actually, it did not make the show roll tonight, but there was a brief, because it was all the story was basically, I almost put it in rapid fire, but I didn't. It was basically like, Saints Row announcement is brewing for next year.
Well, they're working on, they just, like, I don't know if we talked about it before, but I'll mention now since we brought it up. They're working on, they found the source code for Saints Row 2. They thought that they had lost it for the longest time, and they finally found it again. And so now they're able to go back and fix all the bugs that were in Saints Row 2. And so now they're just going through and just remastering that whole thing, basically, and making it run better, which I am totally for. And it's going to be a free update if you have Saints Row 2. So more power to them. But like just that whole team that came out of, you know, the Gentleman of the Row and stuff, and now they're officially supported like modders for that. And actually, I think he's on the development staff. Just I can't remember his goddamn screen name, but just. I'm very excited about that because I do love Saints Row 2.
All right. This is moving away from the Half-Life story. That's okay,
though. That's fine. At least they got the three. But but then after that, you know.
But then 4 was basically a mod for 3.
It was, yeah, it was cheap. It's all right. It's an okay game. I'm willing to go back to saying it's an okay, it's not a terrible game. And, you know, the GAT one was okay. Really, 3 fucked up by getting rid of GAT. And then they kind of tried to retcon that. And now they've just retcon the whole thing. But leave GAT in there.
All right. Let's move on to our gaming weeks, since we're clearly not talking about Half-Life Alyx anymore. The types of video games we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I started Pokemon Sword because I want a Sirfetch'd. I fall in love with my Pika Corgi, which I always forget the name of.
Yamper.
Okay, I have a hard time when I give them nicknames because I forget what the fuck they're called if I give them a nickname. Although I've come up with nicknames for them in my head, and Dan's been watching me play, and he and I have just been laughing at shit.
I don't give my nicknames, for the record. In fact, there's actually an option where you can turn that question off, and I did turn it off because I never rename it.
But
That's me.
I named Pika Corgi, and I named my starter. I started off with the fire bunny who looks like a...
Squirbunny.
I started off with Squirbunny, who now looks like an angry youth with his hoodie. Actually looks like a Naruto character now, whatever he's called, Flame Foot Rabbit Tail.
I don't remember the evolutions off the top of my head.
I named him Hikaru, because I thought it fit. And Dan's just been calling him Hikaru. He's like, what's up with your Hikaru bunny? I'm like, he's cool dude. So I've been enjoying it.
How much XP did you get? Over 9,000.
Whatever. That's Dragon Ball. That's like Vegeta. But anywho's. I've been enjoying the game. It's been cute. I'm just on my way to the first gym. I mean, like, I just got through the caves. And, like, there's some fierce bitches in there. I've just been doing, like, crazy leveling. Like, every time Hop comes up, I'm like, dude, you don't want to step to this. And I'm like, I have just beaten that ass all over the place. And I think his brother is stupid. Seriously, like, can you be any more full of yourself with your stupid, ugly shorts and your white tights? I mean, seriously, dude, you are a fucking champion. You could afford some fashion sense.
Did you love how, like, the very first town you go into, the very, like, first store you're going to see is, like, a fashion outlet? And it's like,
I went,
let's play dress. You can spend all your money you start
I spent
with
most of my money on clothes.
On dress up.
And then I was basically, like, looking for trainer battles just so I could save up money to change my character's look. So I changed her hair. She's a redhead. It's like their Hazel does not look like Hazel. At least not like my Hazel, but I have a lot of blue as well. So I really couldn't pick, like, the right color. I spent the longest trying to match my eye color. And I ended up going with green instead because it went better with the red.
I'm pissed you can't have facial hair on your character. I mean,
well,
I understand.
You are a prepubescent child.
So what?
Sure, let's go with realism there. But the giant fucking long cat, yes. You know, that's fine.
I can have rainbows in my eyes. My eyes are literally rainbows.
That is
kind of
cool. But I went for a little bit more, you know, what I... Because I'm, you know, I was like, I'm going out my hair. I'll do the bun or whatever. So it's cute. I wear the jaunty beret. I'm laughing, though, at how they're kind of screwing up British slang. Like, they're just throwing it out all over the fucking place. And it's just like, I don't really think that that's how people talk there. I know what you're basing it off of, but that's a little bit... That's fan fiction level of bad British speak. That's what I'm saying there. So other than that, I've been having a great time. Like, oh, who's in my party? I like whatever that thing is that carries a log around. Not the log. That's the koala thing. I'm talking about the...
The fighting Pokemon with the big... I know.
With the 4x4?
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to... I would cosplay that and just carry around a 4x4 and say, I'm that Pokemon.
Did you name that Pokemon Splatterhouse?
I didn't get one yet. Oh. I didn't get one yet.
You haven't gotten here yet, but at some point in the game, you're going to meet a character named Opal. That is like cosplay dream right there. Opal is fucking fierce.
No, I like the goth girl.
Oh, wait, is Opal in your game? No, yeah, Opal is in both games.
Sorry, I like the goth girl.
Some gym leaders aren't in both games.
The goth girl.
Yeah, Marnie.
Yeah, she's cool. I'm like, that's like my aesthetic. Why didn't I do that? I hate the one guy who's like, I'm better than everybody because the chairman picked me.
Beatty, I think.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you need to, you know, use an enema. You need, like, an industrial-sized enema where they have to hang you from your feet. You need a colonic. That's it. You need a colonic.
So what you're saying is like a fire hose enema?
Because he is so full of shit and up his own ass.
Congratulations, you get to drink from the fire hose.
The other way. You found the marble in the oatmeal.
Anyway, there's but so many people that don't get these references.
It's Weird Al. They should know it. But anyway, but at any rate, it's like, I've just been coming up with like all this. I do nothing but talk shit about the characters when I play the game. And Dan is just like talking shit about him with me. So, because, you know, normally if he's playing something, I'm his navigator. Like,
they're prepubescent, Jamie. Do you always make fun of children?
He's tall, so he's at least pubescent. So anyway, because normally when Dan plays something, I'm his navigator. I say, hey, did you see that? And Dan will look out for like shiny things for me. And look, that's a sparkle thing. And he apparently really likes Zigzag Zune. He calls...
Who they changed for the Galar region.
Yeah, it's like white and...
It's white and like black.
It's not bad. I was like, that doesn't look like... And then he like went up looking like, well, when you're on the last thing, you should have a Gyarados and you should have this and this. Dan's like started like being my coach. Like he's my trainer coach. I really wish I could change the trainer outfits because they're fucking terrible.
You can later.
Good, because they're fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And at any rate, though, it's just like, I'm having fun, but I'm really having fun shit talking it.
Now, what number did you pick for your uniform? Did you pick 666, 69, or 420?
808.
Okay.
It just, like, my favorite number is 8. And I like most multiples of 2. I do not like 6 as much. And it's, for me, it actually is very much an Aspie thing. I've been this way since I was little. I like things in 2s, 4s, and 8s. So I also love the number 0 because it's nothing. It's an infinite number. It's absolute nothing. So I picked my favorite combination of numbers, 808.
808 makes me think Bob because 8008 is boob. On a calculator. Right?
You know what? When I forget to name what to name a hard drive, I call it Bob.
531-8008.
I have a hard drive named Bob.
The magic number. 531-8008. Anyway. if that's it for your gaming week.
And besides, yeah, it has to be 3 digits. But no, I wanted 808. It works and I'm enjoying. It's fun.
Great.
It's the first time I've played a Pokemon game that I've actually really enjoyed myself in a while.
All right. Anything else for your gaming week?
Idle Pouring, Pokemon Go, Harry Potter. I did get, what, the golf, so I'm, just when I get all this shit out of the way, it's just, I've got a lot of baking to do. I'm hardly gonna have time to play anything, but it'll be good. I'll be playing more stuff once the stupid idiot holidays are over. And it's not fucking Christmas yet, so put your shit away!
No, putting up Christmas until the day after Thanksgiving.
And then it's Hanukkah. I already got latke mix, and then I realized I had 4 more boxes of latke mix.
I think we still have latke mix from last year.
So I'm going to be coming over here.
Okay, do not bring new latke mix. We have plenty.
I'll cook all of it. Okay. You'll just have a pile of latkes.
All right. Loki, did you play a latke games this week?
No, I did not. I played a little bit of Minecraft Earth, so I've just been going through that. I did a few more of the adventures the other day, and I've had some different ones. So there's one that's actually like a redstone puzzle, which was kind of neat. I just kept feeling, though, because especially after that one where I'm like just digging in the hole, after I killed the skeletons, and then all of a sudden skeletons come out of the side because they spawned up top for no reason. I'm still worried every time I do one of these things that there's skeletons going to come and just shoot me with some arrows and kill me, and then I'm going to lose everything that I just got. So that's kind of annoying, but it's all right. I didn't play it all week long because I'm kind of getting bored with it already because there's not a lot to do. They have been updating it, though, so I noticed that there's now seeds in there, so I guess you can plant those just like you can in the normal game, and then they have dyes now that they've added in. So they're updating it. It's just still can't do anything with meat. Have a bunch of meat I'm sitting on, but I don't know. And then, of course, you know, I was fighting the one skeleton, and they're pissing me off, so I threw some TNT down there and blew them up, and that worked out pretty well. I played a little Pokemon Go and worked on my game some. I started working on the procedural generation stuff on that, so I have to... develop something that I want to do for procedural maze generation to get the level structure right. And then once I get that done, then it's going to be random room generation and random spawn wave generation. So that's what I've been working on. And what else? I'm sure I play a little bit of What the Golf in there as well. And yeah, that's it.
All right. My gaming week. A lot of the same old, same olds. Continuing on Final Fantasy 14, of course. I was helping a friend of mine reach level 80 this week, so that's exciting. And then I was playing all the GPS games, all of them. Playing a little bit of Pokemon Go, probably that one the least, just because I didn't bother with the Team Rocket event today. I just haven't. I've really missed a lot of that, and I
oh, there was an event today?
Yeah, there was an event today, and there's the whole, like, you're supposed to fight Giovanni to get the Shadow Articuno, I think it is, and, you know, all the, but I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of cutting that part out. It's like, I don't have the time to go run around and find those and whatever, because I'm too busy playing the other GPS games. So I play the Harry Potter Wizards Unite. There's been an event going on there, so I've been, you know, kind of, you know, getting the traces. And then I really went hard on Ingress this last week because there was the double AP event that happened in Ingress, and it just ended on Friday. So, but I made the most of it. I was out doing little bits of fielding every day. And
have you leveled back up to 16 again?
Not all the way to 16. I'm back to level 14. So I just dinged 14 during the double AP.
Have they still figured out what you get for doing that?
No, they haven't, which is getting more and more frustrating. Like Ingress,
has it been like a year since they announced you can do?
Yeah, Ingress is in a really rough place right now. It's hard. And, you know, it's you're watching the development team, like, you know, they're on the forums and stuff saying, well, we're trying. But I feel like they don't have enough resources. Like, it's very obvious. Pokemon Go is the cash cow. That's where all the resources go. And there's probably like a team of six people in the corner that are like the Ingress team. And God bless them. They're doing what they can. But it's just not enough to stay on top of the very vocal, very loud player base.
So you know what they need to do now? So release another goddamn AR game.
Yeah, right. Oh, which, yeah, also to make sure.
I know.
So Niantic is making a Catan game. Yeah, that's the next game they're doing is Catan. I don't remember the subtitle, but it is
Catan World Explorers.
Thank you. It's Catan World Explorers. So it is basically the world's largest game of Settlers of Catan played on the real world, which actually, like, as much as I, you know, every time Niantic has announced something new, I've kind of done this, like, what the fuck? Like, when they announced Pokemon Go as their next thing, you know, after, because I had played Niantic, or excuse me, I had played Ingress. I knew of Niantic for many years. So when they announced that Pokemon Go is their next thing, I was like, what the fuck? Like, you know, but it turned out to be a rough start, but then the game got really good, right? So there's that. And, you know, Harry Potter Wizards Unite isn't really a night. It's more a Warner Brothers game, but, you know, it's happy as whatever. So that kind of, you know, it exists. It's fine. I would say the Harry Potter game, as much as I don't think the traces are as exciting as, like, catching the cute Pokemon, I would say the Harry Potter game has done a very good job of, like, communicating with their audience, admitting when they make fuck-ups, being very good about what's coming out to the game, making regular updates to the game. They just put gifting in Harry Potter, if you weren't aware.
I did not know.
That just released, like, 3 days ago.
I think I installed Harry Potter.
Yeah,
so.
But for those of you that may still have it lurking on your phone, you can now send gifts to people. Which is great because that helps with the spell energy issue. So if somebody goes to an inn, they can send you a gift that's like 2 spell energy, which doesn't sound like a lot, but you can open 10 gifts a day. That's like 20 spell energy. That's something to work with. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of neat. Helps a little bit with that, kind of like how Pokemon gifting kind of helps with being able to send like Pokeballs and stuff to people who
don't
have that.
I don't know. Like, because, you know, I know that they're struggling with making updates to stuff, and it's like, really, adding a fourth one is a good idea at this point?
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm curious to see what the Catan thing works out. I feel like Ingress is not in a great place, and if Niantic overall does not show that game some TLC, I mean, they really, really botched the transition to Prime. There's no nice way to put it. They promised parity that they didn't deliver on. And I think, you know, when I say parity, the features might be there, but what's not there is the speed and the convenience. And I think that's what's throwing a lot of the player base off. Like, there's a lot that I like about Prime, don't get me wrong, but, like, I don't like the fact that it takes easily 3 times as long to start up as the other Ingress, the original client did. And heaven forbid if you switch to something in the background and then you got to go back to Prime and then it's got to start all over again. So it's really irritating.
Also, there's still a pay to win stuff in there too, which is kind of. Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's been the same fucking game for how many years? It would be nice if they'd mix it up a little bit, and maybe this week you're competing for unique portals, or this week is about banners, or, you know, something different, you know, like, and not just throwing the same field in the same part of town over and over and over again to win a cycle. You know, it's just that aspect of the game is getting really boring. So anyway,
That's why I kind of quit playing.
I know. It's just they need more, I think, that people, because especially as the game has been losing a lot of its regular players because of the parody thing, it would just be nice if there was more that you could do kind of as an individual, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I know a lot of people that have just made it an individual game at this point. Like, it's just, oh, I'm going to go get the banners, or I'm just, you know, microfielding this little park or whatever it is, you know. So it's kind of, I don't know. Anyway. Other games I've been playing this week, because what I've been playing a lot is the same game I talked about last week. That's Pokemon Shield. I've been playing enough Pokemon Shield where I am further in Pokemon Shield than I have ever gotten in a Pokemon game, ever. I am 6 gym badges in, and I think the furthest I ever got, I think I got 4 or 5 gym badges in Sun and Moon. So I'm up to 6 badges in Pokemon Shield, and I think I'm going to see it through to the end. I really do. Because there's just so much about this particular gen that I'm liking. And I got to say, I think one of the biggest things for me are those Dynamax raids. Like, they're so cool. And what I love about it is that it gives an alternative for how to level your characters as opposed to just grinding. Like, I don't feel like I have to go grind, kill 2 Pokemon, run back and heal. Kill 2 more Pokemon, run back and heal. Like, I don't feel like I have to do that. I can just do some Dynamax raids, get some candy, and level up my Pokemon that way, and then focus on the gym battles, which the gym battles are really well done. I love the gym battles in this series. Like, the music is great. The fact that they incorporate this whole stadium into it is awesome. The Dynamaxing during the gym battles is really cool. Like, they did such a bang-up job with the presentation in that regard. And I think also, honestly, for me, and I know I'm the opposite of a lot of people. A lot of people love that convenience of gaming on the go. Me, I love playing video games on my TV, big, lying on my couch, you know, and I have it all, you know, the big noise and stuff. I love playing on my TV. And I think just having that all on my TV, even though ironically right now the Switch is right here in front of me and I could play it right here during the show if I wanted to, although I'm trying to focus on doing a show, I love being able to dock it and play on the TV. Like, the Switch is just a great platform for it. I'm trying to make my way to the 7th gym right now. Just kind of got sidetracked with some raiding, as I usually do, because now I'm having to sub in the right Pokemon. So the next gym I'm going to is a dark type gym. Mm-hmm. So I need some fighting Pokemon. I mean, I can have, what is it, bug, fighting, or there's one other typing I'm forgetting in the moment. I'm sure somebody in chat is screaming it. But I have my little Ninjask, which is my final swipe character, because that's the only one I have that has final swipe. And she also does a bug move. So I have that, but then I had to sub into my party. Now I have a Beware. So I have one of those little pink bears. So they're a fighting type. And then a Hitmonlee I have in my party as well. So another fighting type. So so I have those to go to the next gym with. So, but you know what else is kind of nice? I like the big open wild area. Even though it runs like shit on the Switch when you're online and the weather effects and everything, like the frame rate gets really bad. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, this is not impressive Nintendo technology right here. But as a game concept, I like it actually, because it kind of sets this precedent early on that it's like, hey, you're not going to be able to catch everything. And if you do miss things, they're probably here in this gigantic wild area. So go forth and play the story. You can always come back here and catch all these Pokemon at the end. Like, that's like the feeling I get, which, to be fair, most Pokemon games, you can just play straight through the story and then go back and get all the Pokemon you missed. But there's something about that kind of setup where I don't feel the need to catch every Pokemon on every route along the way. And I can just focus on trying to get through the story, leveling the right Pokemon in my party to do it. And that aspect of the game. And it's worked for me. And I've gotten further in this game than I ever have in a Pokemon game. So I think that goes, and just the quality of life stuff, man, having access to the Pokemon boxes anywhere without having to be at a computer and things like that, like, it goes a long way. Like, they've done a really good job with the mainframe, basically, of this Pokemon game. I understand the whole Dexit thing still bothers a lot of people. I think that would be one of those things where, like, it would be the whipped cream and cherry on top if, when you beat this game, then all of the Pokemon's evers showed up in the game. But it's not, and that's okay. It's still a damn good piece of pie. You know,
there's always a chance for updates later on.
I'm not going to hedge my bets on it. In fact, right. I think they've been pretty clear in coming out and saying, don't count on it. And that's
all right. That's like, for the third version that's going to have both Sword and Shield together and
Pokemon Gun.
Pokemon Gun.
Or I think that the popular and most likely would be Pokemon Armor. So, but we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, and I kind of want to see him do another Pokemon game, but then you're like, Gen 9 will be like 4 years away. So, I don't know. We'll see. But
we'll do a remake of two. Let's go, whatever.
Yeah, I would see more. Okay, so Kaijudo says, I still haven't beat my copies of Ultra Sun and Moon. So, yeah, this is another thing that tends to happen. So you get Ultra Sun and Moon. You had Black 2 and White 2, right? There was never a...
What are those? I mean, just
they're
more
just sequels in the same universe.
Same universe.
Same rosters, basically. They're just different stories. But I could see where maybe there will be a Sword 2 or, you know, Ancient Sword and Ancient Shield or whatever. I don't know. They could do a lot of things with it. But I could see something where they could put out a Sword and Shield sequel that will expand on the decks, I suppose. Mm. But I don't think the decks thing is like a deal breaker at the end of the day. Like, I can see why people are like hissy about it, but I also see a lot of criticisms that are like, this Pokemon game sucks because it's the shortest one. But then I'm like, okay. But when I think about how many hours of Pokemon Red and Blue and Yellow are in a fucking cave running into random encounters over and over that you just want to run from anyway because you're trying to get to this next area, and like how much of it is just grinding and grinding. Like, I kind of think the comparison is a little unfair because I think those numbers in the older Pokemon games are a little bit artificially raised because it's grinding.
Yeah.
I know that's a hot take some of you aren't going to like, but that's the reality. Like, I feel like for me, my reality. And I feel like in Pokemon Sword and Shield, like, I'm always moving. I'm moving in this story. I'm progressing. I'm not having to just sit there and grind shit. And even if I am doing, like, the Dynamax raids, it's kind of fun and different and online and stuff. So, anyway. I do feel like the Dynamax raids was something that they took from Pokemon Go. And it's, like, it's a great addition to the game. So it's amazing how the games are kind of helping each other like that. So, anyway. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf says, I would rather play a 10-hour game where I'm always moving forward than a 60-hour game with 50 hours of grinding. Yes, print that, put it on the back of the box. That is how I feel. Absolutely. Let's see, other comments here. ActDef says, it is Pokemon, but most people have the dumb idea that it's only looking at your phone and throwing balls at everything that pops up. Pokemon Go has raid battles, has community events, it has PvP and other stuff. Yeah, I guess a Go topic came up in chat. Yeah, I love Pokemon Go as well, but it's a different Pokemon experience. That's the interesting thing about this franchise, is it's been imagined in all these different ways. I mean, Pokemon Puzzle League, am I right? That's another way that the Pokemon franchise has been imagined. So, anyway. All right. I don't think I have anything else to share for my gaming week. So, that's it. I guess we will move on. We're going to get to the headlines for the week and talk about what is going on in the gaming world. So, Loki, why don't you start us off?
Yes. So, apparently, it's rumored that Amazon's going to enter the cloud streaming service for games next year. So, of course, Amazon has the Amazon Web Service. That's a pretty big source for a lot of web infrastructure and basically really powerful for something like this. And it only makes sense that they would try to leverage that, especially with their other streaming services that they have, and Prime, to try to, you know, get that all integrated. I could see almost like, you know, now that they own Twitch, Twitch integration with that, much like you have with, you know, YouTube integration with Google Stadia. My question would be is, what are they going to do to try to differentiate themselves from what Google's done? And maybe being that they would be launching at least a year from now, looking at what they can do differently so that they don't kind of flop like Stadia is.
Well, I think it's too early to call Stadia a flop. Not to derail the topic at hand, but I think, and I will say this, coming up later in the show, our voiceover guy, Jason, since none of us picked up Stadia early, but Jason, our voiceover guy, did, So he's going to – he has a nice little package he put together for the break tonight that he's going to talk about his impressions on Stadia. So I'm really excited to hear it because I actually haven't heard the whole thing myself. I only heard like the first minute when I was setting up for the show tonight, but I didn't have time to listen to the whole thing. So excited to hear his impressions of Stadia. But I think it's too early to call Stadia a flop because – even though right now they're, you know, the early adopters of Stadia had to buy this whole thing, remember that Stadia's vision is to be a free thing. It is something that you'll be able to open up your Chromebook and you just launch Chrome and you can run Stadia within the browser. I think that's going to be the true test of is there a demand for something like this when they open it up to the wider market. I think right now, honestly, truly, people paid to beta test it. So I hope you guys are enjoying that beta test. That's what being an early adopter is.
But the problem I see with this, though, right now is that it's not really something – I think, like, you know, Games Pass is, like, a better option than Stadia is. Because it doesn't make sense, like, oh, I get it, it's a cloud streaming service, but you got to buy everything. And a lot of this stuff is really old, and it's just
– I got you. The pricing model is
doesn't make any sense. Like, if they had, like, hey, you pay $10 a month, and you get access to all of these games in this library, and you can stream them all and play them more like PlayStation Now, then that would make more sense to me. But the way that they've done it right now – not really making any sense.
Well, let me steer the car back to the topic at hand since we are talking about Amazon potentially entering this space. We all know that Amazon has their Amazon Prime, that they've leveraged all these different services that Amazon has onto this Amazon Prime. It would seem logical, though nothing is certain until they announce something, it would seem logical that if Amazon were to enter this space, it's very possible they could tie it to a Prime membership or at least maybe some games you would buy, but there will be some things that would be included as part of your Prime membership. Because that is, you know, Amazon makes
a lot
of money.
Or if you have your Twitch library that you could stream stuff.
Potentially. I mean, we don't know. There's so much to be determined. We do know, and sometimes forget, Amazon's been working in the gaming space for quite some time. They've been working on that MMO that they've been developing. Because they bought that one developer, and there was some videos and things that were put out a while ago. I don't remember the name of it, but maybe somebody in chat remembers. Amazon's working on something big within their own studios. It's just that we don't know what the plan is for them to release it. Are they just going to release it as something they sell in the Twitch app? I don't know, but this would be a pretty big if Amazon does want to enter the space. They may have a bang up MMO exclusive game that they want to put in that. So who knows? New World. Thank you, Questbuster. It's New World is the MMO that they're working on. So there you go. And then Lumberyard says Bobby Blackwolf. But is that the engine?
That's their engine. Yeah. I thought that they had. I wasn't sure if they were still working on that because I thought that they were doing some other stuff. Or I guess there's some games. I see Star Citizen uses Lumberyards. Oh, and Crucible, New World.
So certainly, I mean, you know, I know some people don't like to talk about rumors and things, but I think this certainly. I mean, the things that aren't a rumor, we know that Amazon has been working on gaming. They just haven't done anything as far as releasing it yet. Amazon owns Twitch. They bought Twitch for a reason. They have a really great gaming community within Twitch. If they were to launch something like this and tie it to Twitch, it would probably get some eyes on it because of the fact that they're behind Twitch. You know, those things are facts. So you feel like that, oh, there's this interesting little hole in the puzzle where something could nicely fit. And this does seem like a logical – right? I feel like 5 years ago on the show, the talk was Amazon's going to put out a console. And then that died. You remember the rumors Amazon's going to put out a console? Because I do. There was they were build it into Fire or whatever, the Fire Stick and that stuff.
I mean, they could.
But I don't think Amazon's going to put out a console at this point. I think it's this. I think now it's, this is where things are going is the cloud service. Hey, AWS, we got a big cloud that we operate and can deliver that type of bandwidth. Let's do it. But Amazon is probably taking a damn good look at what's happening with Stadia right now and thinking about a lot of that because they would be fools over at Amazon to not see all this complaining about bandwidth that people are having about Stadia right now, which continues to be kind of the biggest complaint. So an Amazon system really is going to have to answer that question, what are they going to do about bandwidth? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's an easy answer. So So anyway, Mr. Smush smells Dark Sakura's dinner, and he's putting on a show.
he's I think stalking off to check his own
Yeah, well, he was asleep when the food dispenser went off earlier, so he's going to be in for a real treat when he walks over there.
And I'm going to have to start a new Instagram for Midna anyway, because, like, I don't even remember the email I signed up for it with.
Oh, no.
I changed it once because I couldn't remember the initial one, and then I remembered the initial one and all this shit. So there's going to be a new Midna Instagram.
Fun. All right. So anyway, I guess there's not a lot else to say on the Amazon Cloud thing right now until we know that what they're doing or what they're planning. But it
okay,
does.
So let me.
I feel like this is the direction they're moving in, and I'm curious to see what they unveil maybe next year.
Well, and that's going to also depend on a lot of what they're doing with the Microsoft X Cloud stuff as well, and where that goes. And I think they're just going to kind of look at what works, what doesn't work, and then kind of go from there. And that's what everybody seems to be doing. But launching early, you do have that problem that you don't get to learn from other people because you're leading the charge.
Yeah.
However well you're doing it, I guess.
All right. Well, moving on to our next story, which is about, again, Pokemon Sword and Shield, some of the big names in gaming this week, as that did recently release. And, of course, you all know by now one of the biggest controversies in Pokemon Sword and Shield is the fact that many of the previous Pokemon in the series were removed from the game, even though the Pokédex is somewhere in the realm of just over 400. That would still be about half the Pokemon did not make the cut in Pokemon Sword and Shield. But that hasn't stopped folks from hacking and modding and doing what they do to try to bring some of the Pokemon back into the game. So what's interesting, apparently using older models from other games, one hacker actually brought Omastar, which was cut. That's a Gen 1 Pokemon that kind of looks like a snail starfish hybrid thing. And it was cut. It's not in Pokemon Sword and Shield, but somebody was able to kind of hack it to actually put it in Pokemon Sword and Shield, and it kind of works, but I guess some of the entrance animations are a little borked. But there's actually a YouTube out there, and I didn't have time to rip it for the show tonight, but you can actually see that it kind of does a fight, and it works okay. So people were able to add at least one Pokemon back into the game, I guess, but
yeah,
I mean, that seems just more of like a challenge to me, and it's honestly, Omastar's not that great a Pokemon, and it just seems like kind of a eh. It's neat that hackers and modders have accomplished that. Neat. And it does go to show that maybe Game Freak, Nintendo should consider some type of addition to add the older Pokemon back into the game. But at the same time, I can, and I got into this last week, and I don't want to repeat myself too much, so I'll just summarize. Game Freak may have made some strategical cuts to try to update the competitive side of Pokemon. Maybe there's a reason they wanted to throw away all the old legendaries, because anytime you watch a Pokemon match, it's all those legendaries going up against each other. So maybe they wanted to
It's the third game that they're going to put all of them just in that game.
We'll see. Anyway, now, did this whole controversy slow down the sales? Did people put their money where their mouth was and not buy the new Pokemon as a result? And the answer is probably not. I mean, I'm sure there's some people out there that are like, I sure didn't, but the sales numbers are coming in. Nintendo announced that over 6 million units between Sword and Shield, and I'm sure 5 million of them were Shield and 1 million of them were Sword, based on what I see on my friends list. That's no shade. It's just I see way more people playing Shield than Sword. But anyway, Nintendo announces 6 million units of the game have been sold worldwide, 2 million of them in the U.S. during the first 2 days, meaning it's the highest grossing Pokemon launch ever. So that should hopefully be some good news for the folks at Game Freak that have had to put up with a lot of social media, online Twitter bullshit leading up to its release. And quite frankly, and again, I'm probably going to take a little shit for my hot take opinion, but I'm still going to put it out there. I think this just furthers the proof that a lot of what you see on Twitter is just echo chamber noisy bullshit that people never follow through on. I shouldn't say never, rarely follow through on. That's Twitter. But you can craft Twitter into a very lovely echo chamber. I've met a lot of great people on Twitter. I've made some great friendships on Twitter and know many people around the world from Twitter, but that's because I block a lot of the annoying shit. So I think the people worrying themselves into a tizzy and calling the games fails, the results are in and biggest launch ever. So
I'm a big fan of muting people.
Yeah. Oh, I like to block. I understand why people do the muting. I like you to know you've been blocked.
I don't want it, but it's different for me because if it's, especially if it's a guy, I don't want to give him the satisfaction of knowing that I blocked him.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah. I understand. Have you ever visited those profiles where in the about information it says blocked by so-and-so, and it's like you're proud of that? Like, I don't know. Like, the people that I've blocked on Twitter deserved it. Like, you want people that, I don't know.
I just block everybody that adds me as a follower.
You block everybody?
No. I've been blocking a lot because I've been getting a lot of these guys who like to post naked pictures of themselves following me for some reason. And no offense, but like, I just don't want to keep having to like, and not even just that, just even like some that my other followers or people that I follow seem to like their photos, and then they get thrown into my feed. And if I'm browsing on my phone or at work or something like that, that might be bad. So I preemptively block them.
Do you know how, I mean, and I know you've expressed you've had this problem too, but do you know how much gay porn finds its way into my feed? And like, I don't follow XXX accounts. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that, you know, sometimes I'm looking on my phone at work and I don't need to see that on my Twitter feed. But Twitter will show the things that your friends liked. And some of y'all out there are thirsty, which again, I understand. Yes. It's fine.
There's nothing
wrong.
We
all get in those moods, but like, Twitter, stop putting it in my feed.
There's nothing wrong. It's like, you know, I'm curious who's following me, and I see the profile picture, and I can't really tell, so I go to their profile, and there's butthole there. So I'm like, well, I'm going to have to block you. And I'd have to do the same thing if it was a female butthole, but yeah, it's just like...
I've seen titties pop up on my feed, too, for the same... I follow straight dudes, too, that, you know, or lesbians that like that stuff, and it's just...
It's just, I can't... I've got to keep my feed somewhat clean, you know? Maybe if I have some time one of these days, I can put it in a separate, like... Don't they have, like, lists or some shit now? And actually, I think you can do categories now, too, so you can do all that. When I have the free time, which will never happen, maybe I can do that kind of crap, but... Right now, I got to block that shit. So.
Oh, I live by the list thing. There's a handful of accounts that I stay current on, and it's thanks to the list thing. But the problem with lists is that you can't block retweets from your list. So I had to remove somebody from my list that I really like and I really want to follow because over 3/4 of their timeline are retweets.
I just wish they had like options like, I don't want to see retweets from this person.
Yes. My God. Anyway.
Anyway, sorry.
All right. That's enough. It turned into Twitter rant. Who knew? Anyway, let's talk more about Pokemon. Dark Sakura, you have another little interesting tidbit.
Yes, I do. So, you know, people have a lot of multiple devices that are plugged in, you know, to their TVs that may have some interaction. Well, right now, Pokemon Sword and Shield are causing some problems with Roku devices. It's their Wicom feature. You know, the way it searches for the internet for other players is sending out data packets that make the Roku go, what? And it gets it stuck in a boot loop. So right now, the only way to fix it is turn on airplane mode on the Switch or move the Switch in Roku to different wireless networks. Roku is actually working on fixing it, but it's not really the fault of Pokemon. It's something having to do with Roku, so hopefully they'll get that fixed up. But it's not the first time I've heard of stuff like that happening.
That is such a strange thing.
It has to be like some signal that it's using or something.
I do know, like, the Switch in general, one thing I like about it is that when I hit my controller to turn on the Switch, if it's docked, my TV turns on as well. Like, it sends that, there's some type of smart signal or something it sends to the TV that makes your TV turn on. And I really think that's cool. But, yeah, like, it's weird that maybe that signal is interfering with these other things as well. So, I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Loki, what else is happening in the gaming world? We had some big news this week, right?
Yeah, so they have the nominees for the Death Stranding Awards starring Jeff Keighley. Basically, it's the Game Awards, and Death Stranding, of course, is getting nominations, which we can kind of discuss how that's a little kind of sketchy, being that Jeff Keighley is in the game. I mean, that if it wins Game of the Year, that's kind of, I don't know. But, I mean, it's his damn award show, so I guess he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
I'm going to just say, look, I don't always say the nicest things about a lot of gaming journalists because I think a lot of them are drunk on power. Not all of them. I've met some really humble, really awesome people. So again, I don't want you to think I'm talking about you, just if you do happen to be one. But I've met you. You've probably met these same people that I'm talking about that are just drunk with power on that type of stuff. And I think Jeff, as far as especially the ones that have really made it big or really mainstream and so forth, like I think he's a pretty respectable guy. I think he made a big mistake in agreeing to be in the game Death Stranding. And I do think he should maybe acknowledge that, especially if this game does end up cleaning up some awards. He may need to acknowledge that, you know, as the guy who's running this, producing this premier game award show, it is a little bit of a problem that he is showing up in a game and, like, everybody knows how tight he is with Hideo Kojima. And I'm sure, and I'm confident, this was not a rigged process. I'm sure the journalists, you know, did their thing in the nomination process the same way they've done in the years past. I'm sure everything was done the same way as it always has been.
It's just, it's
the perception.
That's, yeah.
It's the perception is there that it's worse. And you know what? He should really, at least, you know, he can't remove himself from the game at this point or even stop the award show. And I don't think he should do either of those things. But I do think he should say, hey, I learned something from this. And I realized I crossed a line that if I want this award show to be taken seriously in the future, I probably shouldn't cross that again. So don't look for me to do any cameos in any future games.
Right. So let's see. Let's talk about the nominations. So Game of the Year, as mentioned, Death Stranding, Control, The Outer Worlds, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, Action Game, they have Apex Legends, Astral Chain, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Devil May Cry 5, Gears 5, and Metro Exodus. Let's see, we can... Action Adventure, Borderlands 3, Control, Death Stranding, Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, Resident Evil 2, and Sekiro.
Could you read the awards nominees for Best Art Direction, please? Because there's something I want to point out in that category.
Yes, actually, I was just getting there. Art Direction, Control, Death Stranding, Gris, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, Sayonara Wild Hearts.
I just wanted to interrupt here real quick. What did I say when I was reviewing Sayonara Wild Hearts here on this show? Does anyone remember what I said on that when I was talking about that game?
Eperde.
Yeah, I said specifically, this game will get nominated for Best Art Direction at award shows at the end of the year. Thank you. But I mean, anybody who's played the game could tell you
they
that.
Have a
so I'm not gonna
shit ton of esports nominations. I didn't even realize that they had all that. Event, coach... player, host, content creators of the year. They've got stuff like that. I have no idea who those people are. I wanted to talk about indie games real quick, though, because...
Can I say quickly on the esports thing? Because I definitely noticed it seemed like a lot of that was increased. And I think maybe some of that is to try to bring more eyes to the show. I think it is an element of the gaming community, whether you personally follow it or not. Like, I don't follow a lot of esports.
I completely understand.
But I get it. Like, I get that the Overwatch League is something that's, like, growing and growing and so forth. So, like, I get it. It's not particularly the categories I personally have any interest in, but okay. So, it's just weird to see, like, so much more of it this year than in years past. But anyway, go ahead.
And then, let's see. I was going to – where was the – let's see. They had mobile and – so, mobile game I wanted to mention. They had Call of Duty Mobile, Grindstone, Sayonara Wild Hearts, Sky, Children of Light, and What the Golf. And then independent game, of course. We know who's going to win independent game here. I mean, come on. Baba's You, Disco Elysium, Katana Zero, Outer Wilds, and Untitled Goose Game.
I'm surprised Untitled Goose Game did not get more nominations, actually.
Well, they also got...
I would have thought Untitled Goose Game would have been a dark horse for Game of the Year,
they had. They have this... I don't know why the category is called Fresh Indie Game. It sounds like Indie Studio, but it's they had House House, Untitled Goose Game, Mega Crit, Slay the Spire, Mobius Digital, Outer Wilds, Dead Toast Entertainment, My Friend Pedro, Nomada Studio, Gris, and ZA/UM Disco Elysium. I don't know. There's a ton of damn categories. I'm not going to read them all here. Family Game Category, or better known as It's Nintendo Category, Luigi's Mansion 3, Ring Fit Adventure, Super Mario Maker 2, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and Yoshi's Crafted World. Don't get me wrong. Nintendo does good family games, but I would like to think that there's other people out there that have made some family games that, like, really, this is all we have is just from Nintendo? I don't know. Like, wasn't there, like, an... was that this year? I can't remember. There wasn't there, like, one of the robots games that Sony made or something like that was pretty good for VR? I don't know. I would like to see... I would like to see more than just Nintendo in that category. And I think last year is the same way.
Okay. Real quick, go back and read the Game of the Year nominees for us, please.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to ask after this.
Game of the Year: Control, Death Stranding, The Outer Worlds, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Now, I realize not everybody's had time to play all those games, but certainly you've had enough time to follow some of the buzz on these different games, and you kind of know the perception and what the gaming community kind of views with these types of games. So that being said, who do you think out of this group takes the award?
The Outer Worlds.
Wow. I wouldn't have thought... Why did you say The Outer Worlds?
Because it's actually a pretty decent game. It's, you know, of a quality of like one of the older Fallout games. I've not heard anything really negative about it. Death Stranding, I've heard all sorts of, like, it just seems very like this is much like kind of a Kojima passion project thing, and it just makes no sense. And there's the gameplay's not really there, but the story's okay. Control has a pretty good story, and the gameplay's pretty good in that one, so that could be one that I could see. Sekiro. I don't care. I'm going to pronounce
it
wrong. You
said it right the first time.
Whatever. That one seems like that might be a pretty good one. The gameplay on that was supposed to be pretty good, and I think, if I remember correctly, that's kind of like the Dark Souls-type game. Smash Brothers Ultimate is just Smash Brothers. I mean... I guess you could see some nominations there. I would see that more of like a family game. It might win that category. Resident Evil 2. Dude, it's a fucking remake. I just don't really care. I mean, it might do all right, but I think Outer Worlds will take it. Unless it's really rigged and then Death Stranding will take it.
Darksakura, thoughts?
I'm leaning to Death Stranding because everyone is up, you know, Kojima's ass. Just saying. Other than that, though, my second for that would have been Sekiro. Just because... it's been out longer. More people have played it. It's got a really great storyline. It's pretty, and it's hard as shit.
I actually think Smash Brothers is going to take it, and I think it's going to leave a lot of people asking why the fuck wasn't this nominated last year, and the reason why is because of the way the release windows work, and I think it is going to cause some questions about maybe the strange eligibility window for this ought to be revisited. However, I think Smash Brothers takes it because I think there is going to be blowback on Death Stranding because of the Keighley thing. I really do. And I don't think the game – I mean, and I want to play it and form my own opinions, but the game doesn't seem to be reviewing at the level where I thought it would have. So I'm not sure it's going to take the big prize for that reason. I think ultimately the users vote on these, right? Because you can go vote on them online, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And that's another reason why Smash Brothers takes it in the end. I think that game is too goddamn popular to not win. And it's not like it's not deserving. I mean, they've continued to deliver on that game over and over again throughout the year with the DLC and so forth. So, I mean, it certainly deserves it. I think just a lot of people are going to be asking, why didn't it win last year? It should have won last year. And... It was a December release, if I remember right, right? So it's the eligibility window is a little weird.
Yeah, I think it came out.
Yeah. It's just like when the Oscar nominations come out, if Jordan Peele's Us gets nominated for Movie of the Year, which it very well might, I think people are going to be asking, wait a minute, what the fuck? Wasn't that last year's movie? No, came out in like February. So, you know, sometimes the eligibility windows are a little weird. I do think there is a sleeper candidate in Control.
That one I hear is a pretty good game.
I think if the critics were voting and not the gamers, I think there would, like, if this were the Oscars, where just industry people were voting, I have this really funky feeling Control would win. Because, you know, again, I haven't played it, so it's hard for me to wrap my head around, but it's on my radar. It's on my list of games I really want to play, because everybody that has played it has really good things to say about it. And, like, just... you know, the studio that put it out, you know, puts all these other winners out and so forth. So it's just, it's got a really, I feel like a cultish almost kind of following to that game in a way. So I feel like Control is kind of a sleeper candidate there. But I just think, especially being the only Nintendo one in there, I think there's no way Smash Brothers doesn't win. If Link's Awakening had also gotten a Game of the Year nod, then it would be a tougher call. But I think there's no way that Smash Brothers, especially with the fans voting, I think Smash Brothers has it in the bag.
I don't know.
But that's me. So, anyway. The other thing I'll say is interesting about the Game Awards. There was an award for community or something, or like on – what was it? Ongoing game. Something about like ongoing life of the game. Final Fantasy community support. That's it. Tell us the candidates in this category.
So community support: Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege.
And this, I believe, is the category for like continued support of the game post launch, basically, and talking with the community and basically like hyping up the products and things like that, right? And like, you know, continuing support for the game after it's out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Final Fantasy 14 should get that. I have a feeling
they had their best expansion this year.
I have a feeling Fortnite will get it, Apex Legends better not fucking get it.
Users vote.
Oh no! Wait! No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Anthem. Sorry. Getting those confused. Apex Legends, that might not be so bad.
Yeah. No, Apex won't be bad at all, and Apex arguably could deserve it, but I think it'll be Fortnite. Because again, users vote on it. So, but read that list one more time, because I want you guys to listen. Who's not here?
Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege.
Who's not here in that lineup that is really stunning? In my opinion, when it comes to this community thing, like I'm actually stunned and shocked. Who's not in that list? Who's not in that list?
World of Warcraft?
How about any Blizzard product? Overwatch.
Because fuck them.
Overwatch is the glaring admission there. And is that punishment for what's happened the past couple months? I don't know, but I am stunned that Overwatch was not in that category.
They're banned from being awarded.
You know, I don't even see, now that I'm looking at this, the Overwatch is nominated for Esports Game of the Year, which I think it won last year.
That, like, for me saying it's stunning for it to not be in the community category, it would have been goddamn, like, fucking, like, stop the presses, like, interrupt special news announcement. I'm Tom Brokaw here with a special news report. To not be in the esports category, come on, especially with like everything Overwatch League has accomplished in the past year. That's would have been a real.
Here's an interesting one. So a multiplayer game, we have Apex Legends, Borderlands 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Tetris 99, and Tom Clancy's The Division 2.
So interesting. Anyway. It's something I noticed, because yeah, again, Warcraft could be another one too, especially with WoW Classic having launched. But I was just, you know, as a Final Fantasy 14 fan, there was definitely a part of me that was like, yay, they're getting acknowledged and rewarded because their latest expansion's the best they've ever been. So good for them.
Ooh, so. They have a good. Sorry, just one last one. Squared Music, Cadence of Hyrule, Death Stranding, Devil May Cry 5, Kingdom Hearts 3, and Sayonara Wild Hearts. That's a pretty good category.
That's a pretty good category. It really is. So,
all right.
We're done. All right. Anyway, SG100 Matt does want to say, I mean, to play devil's advocate, Overwatch hasn't really done much this year. Last year, they were doing more with the game. This past year, it felt kind of the same. But, I mean, they're still continuing support with new heroes and stuff, and the special events. But maybe because the special events are kind of recycled because Overwatch 2 is on the horizon. I don't know. I noticed it wasn't there. A little bit surprised. That's all. Anyway. Moving on, let's talk about, since obviously Kojima is taking up a lot of the talk when it comes to the Game Awards, I think it's worth talking about this. What is Kojima going to do next? Because I don't think it's going to necessarily be Death Stranding 2.
You know what he said he wants to do?
I think that's what I'm about to talk about.
Yep.
So, what he said he wanted to talk about on Twitter, so he wrote a tweet that he said, this is the tweet, as to make the scariest horror game, I'll watch the scary movies in order to awaken my horror soul. The Eye is the Thai horror movie I rent when making PT. Notice he calls it PT and not Silent Hills. It's just interesting that he didn't. That whole thing was supposed to be Silent Hills, but he called it PT. Maybe because that's all it ever ended up being. I don't know. But anyway, number one, interesting observation. Thai horror movie I rent when making PT, but was too scary to finish watching. The package is scary, so I rented the disc only. Will I be able to finish watching? You've seen this, Dark Soccer? I don't know anything about it. I don't like. I already can tell I probably wouldn't like it.
I started watching it. The movie's fucking creepy as fuck. It's like this violin player has like a cornea transplant, and she starts seeing like multiple images of people dying. It's really fucking creepy movie. And they remade it with Jessica Alba.
Oh, it's US. That one.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard when the Jessica Alba one came out, people were razzing it, being like, this ain't shit compared to the original. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway, interesting.
If you ever want to watch it, I'll pick it up again.
No. I am perfectly content. This is like you and the VR thing. I am perfectly content hearing your take on it.
I much prefer Asian horror.
Sure.
Although I will say that I'm still kind of about Train to Busan, but that is a good movie.
I will say this. You know what I do want to see? Because I have heard nothing but great things about it. Mm-hmm. Going over to, I think it's a South Korean film, Parasite.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
That's one I haven't seen. It's on my list.
I'm hearing lots of stuff about that. So anyway, I hope I'm right. I hope I didn't credit that to the wrong country. I think it was,
but I'll double check it. But have you you saw Ju-on, right? Or did you see the original, or did you see
the Grudge?
I think
you made me watch the original Grudge at some point.
I need to have you watch Black Ghost and White Ghost, because they're a little bit more suspenseful. They're not really gross or super scary. To me, they weren't super scary. But if you just want to sit and laugh the whole time, watch Kayako versus, no, not that one, Sadako 3D. Which was like Sadako from The Ring. It's a terrible movie. Actually, Kayako versus Sadako is also hilariously bad.
Swang Tong in chat says, I watched Suicide Club last week. That messed me up. I think
Suicide Club is a fucked up movie.
Dark
anyway.
Sakura made me watch that, or somebody made me watch that.
I have two copies of it.
I think it might have been
me. Loki, somebody made me
watch
that.
I got a copy
that.
Of it, yeah.
And I was like,
copy.
You know they did Battle Royale on Blu-ray.
I was just about to ask, why was Battle Royale all of a sudden floating around Facebook this week? Was it the anniversary of
the movie's release? And so, like, I did What's Her Face doing the try not to get exploded, okay? You know.
Why don't they have a Battle Royale game? Would that be inappropriate?
They recreated, they actually stole that idea for a Marvel series about 2 years ago. A year ago, 2 years ago? Where they were kidnapping different teenage superheroes, including like some of the Runaways and Jubilee and all them, and put them in like a battle royale, like full on deathmatch.
So I fell down a wiki rabbit hole, and I was trying to look into why did they never remake Battle Royale, because surely somebody wanted to remake it for a U.S. audience. And sure enough, they were trying to do that at one point. Even despite the controversies about, you know, the things that happen in schools and stuff, you know, there was a particular way they were going to frame it. And let's be real, it's not like seeing teenagers get cut up in horror movies is anything new. Hello, any Freddy or Jason movie or Halloween that ever existed, right?
Well, the Hunger Games, even though she said she never read Battle Royale or watched the movies, it's very reminiscent.
And that's kind of where the story ultimately ends up, is the reason why they have not remade the movie is because the Hunger Games happened.
Oh, and we had Lord of the Flies.
And he said, the guy who owns the rights said, no matter what we did, if we were to release Battle Royale here in America, everybody would say it's a ripoff of the Hunger Games, even though it came first. But he's like, you and I both know the world doesn't work like that.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
It's just like when Beat Mania came out and everybody, the X-Play fucking called it a Guitar Hero ripoff or whatever. It's like, wait. You ignorant fuck!
But
Beat Mania was
so
first.
What though? Like,
it doesn't matter.
If someone calls it a ripoff of Hunger Games? Who cares what people say about a movie? Doesn't mean it's going to be bad. Doesn't mean people won't go see it. There's plenty of things there, you know, based off of other things.
Especially if you make it even more gory or something.
Also,
people
I
will
think
see that shit.
A lot already kind of spawned off because of the Hunger Games. Like, what was the other big teenage book movie they started doing?
The Maze Runner,
or is that
it? Maze Runner.
Yeah,
yeah. What
the
was
Maze
the one
Runner.
That Kate Winslet was in?
There's also there was the other one that was by the same author that did like I can't remember what it's called now. They've had a few other ones. There was they all suck. That's what it was. But yeah, there's been several books of that genre that have been made into movies and stuff.
Been
so what's
out
it matter?
Since the early days, I mean, even let me just. And also, Battle Royale 2 was crappy. hilariously crappy.
Divergent.
Oh, Divergent. Divergent isn't the same.
Tiger Claw got me. That's what I was thinking of. Divergent.
But it's a completely different kind of genre.
Yeah, but those movies exist because of The Hunger Games. Because they were looking for the next young adult
thing.
They want
young adult shit, yeah. But, you know, I mean, if they wanted to do like a Battle Royale ripoff, they could do like a Supernatural thing to it.
Well, that's the problem. See, the reason why, and I'll tell you why they haven't made a new or a remake of Battle Royale.
The Running Man. There's another one like that, by the way.
Oh, yes. They should do a remake of that. But the reason that they can't do a remake of Battle Royale is because they can't stretch it out to be a franchise and milk that shit for as much fucking money as they can. That is the real reason.
They tried in Japan. We saw it happen.
Let me bring it back to
although the comics were
let
great.
Let me bring it back to the topic that started this whole tangent. No, that's okay. And that is Kojima taking on horror games potentially because, you know, he basically is saying in that tweet, I'm trying to put myself in a horror game mood. So it's, I mean, he didn't say it like that, but it's, read the subtext. But
that's not the thing I thought he was going to talk about. Because the rumor was saying that the next thing Kojima Productions were going to do was a movie.
Oh, there was that. Oh, so maybe, what if he did a horror movie?
That seems likely. Or what if you put the studios like CG, you know, because you could do a whole, I mean, especially as good as Death Stranding looked and how beautifully everything moved. Imagine if, well, in another just earlier than that, Detroit was the same way. It was all mocap acting. You could do a movie all in mocap CG like that, which would give you a lot more, say, less special effects. You know what I mean? Things that actually seem more immersive in their environment. What if he's doing that?
Who knows? Only Kojima knows. So we can only look for the hints within the tweets in the time being. That's all we can do.
Next franchise to be released, The Audition.
Let's move on and talk about other movies.
You don't know what The Audition is, I don't think.
I don't think so.
This woman auditions a man to be, or she's pretending to be the audition, but she's like trying him to be her husband, and then it's kind of like borderline fake snuff film type thing. It's creepy. Anyway, yeah, and I haven't watched it.
How about something family friendly?
Okay. How about Sonic?
Okay.
So
again,
Sonic. So you know how much they were saying that the redesign cost the company, right?
When the rumor was something like $35 million, something like that.
Well, there is a source close to the production, quote, that was released through IndieWire that said that it was actually less than $5 million for Paramount. Reason being, and actually the reason why this makes a lot of sense is because apparently when the first trailer came out, the only VFX that were finished was the stuff in the trailer. So keep in mind how much VFX costs for design and render. On top of that, too, they did have to rework the, you know, the character design, reanimate, stuff like that. But that's going to be a lot less, especially if most of the rig is already done. The body really looks about the same. It's re-rigging the face, right? And if they didn't have to add effects to it, going in afterwards to add the effects would really put it much, much lower. They didn't have as much work to do, especially if that redesign was was done a lot earlier than we saw it happen. So, and you know, it could be possible because this happens a lot. I mean, in 3D design, in web design, in anything, you know, anytime you design a character, you're going to have mock-ups. How many times have you looked at a beta version of the game and seen that a character looked completely different? What about that pirate game that turned into Banjo-Kazooie? Right?
Right.
So, I mean, and there's still like erroneous data for some of those models that are in games. The same thing happens with movies, especially when you're dealing with CG. You're going to have test mock-ups.
Yeah.
So it could very well be that they may have already had that design already done.
You know, I think even if it had been $35 million, even I know it was five, but even if it had been $35 million, mm-hmm. I think it would have still been worth the investment because this movie, you know, and it's funny because we just were talking about how Twitter and internet noise doesn't always really matter at the end of the day. But at the same time, something felt very different and legit about the Sonic movie talk. And I really think this movie would have just straight up bombed. There would have been so, like, even myself, maybe this is why I'm like, oh, this is going to turn around. Because even myself, like, based on that first movie trailer, I was like, this is going to be bad. I'm not going to see this. Forget it. I'll just wait until it comes out on Blu-ray. But now that I've seen the new trailer, even I'm kind of like, well, if I could find something to go with, I'll probably go check it out. Why not? And I think there's a lot of people that now we're like Sonic, oh yes, that is the character I remember from my childhood. I think it's going to make up that $35 million or 5 million, whatever it is, in box office.
There's another point to this, too. And these are a couple of deleted tweets by one of their VFX designers. Motion capture animator Stu Witten, at Stu_FX on Twitter. And this is on November 12th. One said, pretty much went back to our original design, LOL. See? Hmm. Number two, Mad Props to our Character Lab in Vancouver team. And he had a link on there. But these were deleted. So apparently, this design, like I said, was already done.
Hmm.
So.
Very interesting.
It doesn't surprise me. I had a feeling that it was already done. But.
Tiger Claw in chat says, it has a lot to live up to, considering the success Detective Pikachu had. That's pretty true as well. You know, Detective Pikachu did pretty damn well. And I did go see that in the theater, actually, and it was a super fucking cute movie. So, yeah, I mean, I have to say, in the pre-trailer, the first trailer era, when Tiger Claw would post all these things on Sonic, I would want to be like, dude, stop trying to make Fetch happen. This movie's destined for failure. But now I'm like, all right, I get where your hype is. Like, I may not be leading that hype train, but I'm like, okay, I see why people are excited. I get it. It looks kind of neat. So, all right. Anyhow, let's move on. Let's talk about potentially the future of gaming in our next story. Loki.
All right. So obviously we're waiting with bated breath about the announcement of the PlayStation 5 and wondering what the hell is Sony going to offer with that? Well, we get a little bit of a glimpse with a brand new patent for their controller. Now, the controller looks pretty similar to the DualShock 4, just some minor tweaks with how it is. One thing that is noticed on the redesign is that the light bar seems to be missing. It doesn't seem to be in that picture, at least from what I can see. Still has the touchpad available on top there, but maybe that'll be a touchscreen. Who knows? But right now, not a whole lot that we can see other than, I guess, being that there is no light bar there. I guess that kind of makes sense because I'm assuming there may not be a camera, although there would have to be a camera because you get PlayStation VR to work? Yeah, so
the VR needs one. Well, unless they're going to change how that works, but I don't know what that would be.
Can do that, so we'll see. But yeah,
what games use that light bar for control with a camera that can't just be subbed in for the Move, which is kind of required to use VR anyway? Like that the controller light bar hasn't been used on any recent games. I mean, I think it's pretty, and I think it makes a neat ambient effect. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, they use it for like indicators and stuff like that sometimes. Yeah, but it's not like anything meaningful.
And there's also that tiny little light strip in the touchpad that you could kind of use that for, maybe instead of having that whole backlight. So,
but and also just because this is a patent doesn't mean it's going to show the exact design of that. Maybe they'll tweak that and have that in there. Who knows? But it looks pretty similar. I mean, the same layout and everything. They're not moving the sticks around or anything like that. I mean, if you were to tell me that's a DualShock 4, I'd probably believe you.
So, and for the most part, it just kind of looks like they're just sticking with what's worked in the last generation, which seems plenty like a good idea to me. I guess we're not expecting any big change. We're like, oh,
they're
like
saying
the
like,
share button showed
maybe
up.
Maybe like they're going to have haptic feedback or whatever in the triggers. And so
that was
something that they were talking about before. And that's something the Xbox One X sort of has a little bit of rumble in the triggers as well. So I'd be curious to see what that's like. But
like you're playing Horizon and you go to like fire the bow and it's going to kind of do that haptic feedback to make it really feel like you're pulling the bowstring back or something like that.
Yeah. So,
that could be neat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. And again, we don't really know until it is officially unveiled by PlayStation. All right. moving on to talking about sales, because, you know, there are going to be a shit ton of sales on Black Friday. They're going to be online. They're going to be in stores. They're going to be everywhere. And I'm sure some of you more thrifty gamers out there already have your eyes on what might you pick up on Black Friday. Sadly, you know what I'm not seeing on Black Friday sales? Death Stranding. I was hoping I might be able to get a deal on it if I waited, but it looks like that's not happening. So,
maybe. I don't know.
I don't think it is at this point. But you can already get in on some of the PlayStation 4 Black Friday deals, which include, I guess, the PlayStation VR is coming way down. And this is a big one. $199 as opposed to $300. The game bundle that has the VR headset, the camera, and five games, including Astrobot Rescue Mission, Skyrim VR, Resident Evil 7, Everybody's Golf, and PlayStation VR Worlds. That's pretty damn good for $200. So I expect that may get some people on board with that. We'll see. Also, $200 for just a straight-up PlayStation 4. If you don't have PS4 yet, if you haven't jumped into the latest generation, or maybe you've been Xbox this whole time, you haven't picked up PS4 for whatever reason, $200 for a 1 terabyte PlayStation 4 that comes with Last of Us, God of War, and Horizon Zero Dawn, a PlayStation 4 Pro for $300. So that's pretty darn, those are some big, deep cuts. But you would expect those types of deep cuts especially right before PlayStation 5 is coming out. Death Stranding is going to be free with a PlayStation 4 bundle, a certain one that you can pick up. So there's lots of deals. And that's just the official PlayStation deals. But I know everywhere, every company is having different sales of their own. Loki, I can't help but notice you have a cheap-ass gamer who I know they follow.
I was trying to see
if they live off this stuff. So anything that caught your eye over there?
Not really. I was just kind of taking a look to see what they had. I haven't pulled it up, but they had on their Twitter a link to an Excel, it's not an Excel spreadsheet, it's a Google Docs spreadsheet or whatever that they've got breaking down the different deals.
I actually visited that the other day because I wanted to see if Death Stranding was on it.
Yeah, and I don't see Death Stranding on any of these, but there's lots of other stuff that's on here. I mean, it's worth checking out.
Oh, yeah, this is the time to catch up if there's anything else, not from November this year, because we all know Pokemon Sword and Shield ain't getting discounted. So, if there's anything not from this month that you want to pick up from the year, Black Friday is going to be a great time to do it. I think some places won't reveal their deals until what Black Friday or Cyber Monday will be another one, right?
Yeah, that would be another one. I was trying to see what other stuff they have. I'm going to wait for, and obviously we'll have a Steam sale pretty soon, so I'd be curious to see what they have on there. I made my purchase this week, so
did you pick up?
I picked up, it was a game that I played, and I had talked about a little bit on my Twitter as well. I had played this at one of our Sac Indie arcades a couple years ago, I think in 2017, and it's a local dev who's out of Oakland who put out a game called Black Future 88. It's a roguelite, and it's fucking amazing. It's just some indie guy that put this out. So it's out on Switch and Steam. So go check it out. It's they have it 10% off right now. So it's $17.99.
YYR wants to recommend the recently released Contra and Castlevania collections. Currently $10, down from $20.
You had me for a second there when you said Contra. I was like, the new one. And then you're let the collections okay.
Okay, but back when the Contra games were good.
Right. Like new Contra, no.
Let's see. Oh, Questbuster says Dragon Quest Builders 2 is $25. That's pretty good. SG100 Matt says Amazon is usually quiet until week of, but most of the time in lockstep with other retailers' prices. They came out with something today because I know TVs, that was the thing that caught my eye because you guys know I still don't have a 4K TV because I made the dumb mistake of buying a TV the year before 4K became affordable, so I missed the fuck out. But now I'm starting to look at it going, ooh, tempting, super tempting, because I kind of want 4K gaming, and I have a PS4 Pro and other things that support 4K. So I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
We'll see. But it's also but you could also be saving that money for, buying a house, but we'll see. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to a time before before Black Friday was really this holiday in and of itself, a simpler time.
When it was proper and easy to make a game based on poultry.
Yes. We're going to go back to a classic time with the classic game of the week segment, where every week Dark Soccer steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should check this game out. Or maybe not so much sometimes a game that you should check out, but
this
hey,
game is kind of stupid.
Isn't this game topical?
Yeah.
So what'd you pick?
Well, I picked a game called Egomania. And, For the longest time, I always thought it was a turkey because it doesn't look like a turkey, but it's supposed to be a chicken.
That is a fucking turkey.
That's a fucking turkey.
That running across the top of the screen. That is a ugly ass Atari 2600 turkey.
Actually, it looks like a very well run, rendered turkey for the 2600, but still.
And can I say something about the guy playing this game? Because I watched the 4 minutes or whatever I took of this video earlier. Mm-hmm. Whoever's playing this
sucks.
I don't think he gets past like 6 eggs ever.
Well, there is another video, but it was actually a guy recording it on the TV because it was for a world record. Getting a fucking world record in Eggomania, like. This is stupid. If I had an Eggomania, I'd want it to be about waffles.
Okay, so the first thing everybody's yelling in chat, which was the first thing I yelled, isn't this just Kaboom?
Yeah. So at any rate, it was done, and it came out in January 1993 by US Games for the Atari 2600, and it was similar in design to Kaboom, which is itself derived from the arcade game Avalanche.
You know, one could make the argument that that's Big Bird at the top of the screen.
No, because it'd be all yellow. If it was
no,
Big Bird.
But it's the sad Big Bird from when they put him in the circus in the movie.
But the rest of him's yellow, so he'd be like half sad.
He's half sad. I'd be sad if I was in this game, too. This game is fucking ugly, Dark Sakura.
Yeah, you should watch Follow That Bird. Well, the only reason I picked it is because it's a fucking turkey.
It's fine. The classic games of the week are not always winners.
And we need to know about the shit so we don't repeat our mistakes.
That's true. And this does come from a time and an era where games like this cause the entire industry to crash. I bet that's
I don't think this is as bad as E.T.
I bet that's
I used to play this game. I remember this game.
Oh my god. I bet that's that's Cookie Monster. Right,
hold on a sec. Like look at the picture, Loki.
No, I'm looking at it right now. I played this game.
Okay.
I remember this game.
Wow. Why didn't you play Kaboom, the good game? That's the same thing.
I don't remember.
Hopefully I can get this to show up. Oh, never mind. You're showing the video. I'll send it in chat anyway. But anyway, Eggomania is...
Podcasters can't see it anyway.
It's a stupid ass game anyway. So,
doesn't the chicken make like clucking noises as it's going around, if I remember correctly?
It might.
It's an Atari 2600, so it probably made a...
Unless there's a port to like another console.
I still maintain it's a turkey. So anyway, so you basically have to catch eggs in a bowl. And it's supposed to be a bear catching it, by the way, who's walking through honey. Because you see how he's sinking down a little bit? Yeah, it's a bear in honey.
Oh, 420 is the points. I thought the bottom was all yolk from the cracked eggs that he kept dropping because the guy playing sucks.
But you see it's going down? Oh, no.
And then
he still drowns.
He drowns in the egg yolk. Egg.
Full of protein. Ooh. This little bow-legged ass bear, though. So maybe it is. All right, let me look at it. Let me wait till an egg falls on the ground. No, he's just stupid. Anyway, so you have to catch eggs in a bowl on top of your head. I mean, it's you actually have two difficulties. You have an easier one where you get a larger hat for catching. It's an upside down hat. It looks like a bowl. Fuck ever. Anyway, so yeah. It's not like it has a plot, because it's an Atari 2600 game. So Electronic Games in June 1983 said it was, quote, delightful in a game that improved on Kaboom. And it said that was, and I'm going to quote this again, a fully animated delight that might even eclipse its inspiration with state-of-the-art graphics on the 2600.
The fuck?
It also, there was another game actually from 1982 inspired by Avalanche called Chicken. Pretty much the same shit, but it actually looks like a chicken.
I feel like the story behind this game is that Big Bird is deciding to poop eggs all over his friend Cookie Monster.
Big Bird cannot, because Big Bird's a dude. And I mean, Big Bird does not have the egg-producing internal bits.
Well,
Big Bird was really a bird.
Anyway, forget it.
I'm
not going to try and justify this game.
It was designed by Henry Will and Wes Traeger. Music composed by Todd Marshall. Came out for the Atari 2600 in 1983.
I think I did read that one thing that separates this from Kaboom. So there is one way that this is different from Kaboom. Is that if you actually get all the eggs in the stage, which this guy never does. Spoiler, because he is fucking terrible at this game. But if you get all the eggs in a stage, is Bobby Blackwolf playing this game?
No, come on. Let's be fair. Bobby Blackwolf would be like way better than this.
Stage one.
This person is actually playing in big hat mode.
Oh my god. Anyway, but apparently, if you catch all of the eggs, you get to throw the eggs back. That is the big twist. Imagine in Kaboom if you got to throw a bomb back at the bandit. That is the big twist in this game, apparently. So,
and Bobby says, hey, I would be better than this guy.
No, and true.
And VG Realness says the shade of it all. SSJ100 Matt does a bunch of salt emoji.
I'm so mean.
We should have, you know, for our next game jam, we should have terrible ripoffs as the theme, and then we can do...
That's a good idea. But actually, I will say this. Tiger Claw, with a really good thought in our chat, Tiger Claw said, maybe it's time for a new category called the Classic Shitty Game of the Week. Well, you know, Dark Soccer already has next year's theming ready.
I can do a shitty game a month.
But you already have a monthly thing.
But... it's still a classic game.
Okay.
So it would fall under the umbrella of classic game. It would just be my category would be, and here's your piece of shit for the month.
Okay. All right. All right.
I can do it.
So 2020, we're going to have, what was
Classic Pinball.
Classic Pinball. And so we're going to have
Pre-Pinball 2000.
Classic Shitty Game of the Week.
Classic Shitty Game.
Oh, this is good because this will be a chance. I mean, we've already
done. So Halo's going to be the first game.
You've already done Halo,
yeah.
But we've already recognized games like Miss Nude World 96.
But that's not really a shitty game. It's actually fun.
Yeah, that's true. The technology in that game, the soundtrack,
it's
everybody
kicks.
Move your body.
But like, I would do stuff like, I mean,
Night Trap. Night Trap's gotta be
Night
one of them.
Well, I think I might have done Night Trap.
I think you did too.
But I could do stuff like, like WCW
Yaris.
Thunder, which is one of the games Yaris. That I thought was so bad I took it back.
Oh god, it's a good
is
one.
Is Yaris old enough?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, I'll do Yaris. I mean, I'll just... it's
spoiler
12.
Alert.
Well, I mean, like, people don't fucking see that happening. You
Bullet
know?
Witch.
Seriously, what was... all those games on the 2600 that caused the video game to crash, like the Chuck Wagon, Purina Chuck Wagon, that game was garbage.
The commercials were funny.
What else on 2600? Not
E.T.,
Pac-Man.
Adult
games. Don't go showing things like Beat 'em and Eat 'em because that's too easy. That's gross.
No. But like you know, there was E.T., there was Pac-Man.
Yeah, there's plenty of, like, you could just do a whole year of shitty 2600 games and fill it up like that. So, anyway.
I mean, fuck, I might even, I don't know.
Yeah.
By the way, this is completely off topic.
What else is new?
I picked up one of the 1978 Pong table tennis consoles that plugs in through the little UHF thing. I haven't tested it or anything. I paid like $8 for it, but I picked one up.
The other thing that you picked up that you have yet to bring up on this show, fail, that you sent me a picture of last night.
Oh, well, we don't own it. We're borrowing it.
Still, it's
but
your house.
We have an Elvira Scared Stiff in my garage.
So cool.
So come play.
I will. I think I might.
Girl.
Don't threaten
me. Well, you know,
time.
Wednesday night is our classic gaming shit thing at my house. Well, you know what I mean. It's like we do it.
Wow, you hype it up so well.
Well, we do this thing.
Come over and have a shit time at Dark Soccer's shitty party.
I'll bake. I'm going to be in there baking anyway, so fuck. Because I've got to bake for the sisters, and I have to bake for Thanksgiving, and I have to bake for Dan's birthday, which is Friday. So, I mean, what the fuck ever.
Are the sisters coming over? I want to play pinball with them.
I don't think so.
Really?
Because I think I'll invite the sisters, but I doubt they'd want to just play, you know, Sega Saturn and Nintendo. Mm. But at any rate, we do a classic gaming thing on the night before Thanksgiving. So you've been over for a couple of those.
Yeah, we've been before. Just depended if we were going out of town or not.
Remember when we did the Smash Party?
I do.
Yeah, so we did one of our Smash Parties was like that.
VG Realness says the stuff Dark Sakura bakes looks so damn good. Well, maybe Dark Sakura will have to send a care package.
Maybe I will.
Even though Canadian Thanksgiving already happened.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'll tell you what. Message me on the Facebooks.
Mm-hmm.
I will arrange a bake exchange with you.
If your name is VG Realness.
In return.
Or you're opening this up to everybody.
In return for poutine.
Oh, okay. Are you opening this up to everybody or just VG Realness?
No, just VG Realness. Because okay. VG Realness can get me Canada stuff.
Okay.
Like,
ooh,
freeze pack me some Tim Hortons.
I want some fucking ketchup chips.
No. I have to look for Canadian stuff I want. So, right. But I will do
Because we can get all dressed here now.
I don't like it.
I love All Dressed. Oh, my God.
But you know what? If you do that, if we can set up a food trade, and I will also send you See's candy.
Okay.
So.
Anyway. All right, moving on. we have a break segment this week. I'm very excited. So we're going to take a quick break in studio. But for you guys that are watching along or listening along on the podcast, this is great. So we haven't talked a lot about Stadia tonight. And that's because none of us have played it yet. But you know who has played it is our voiceover guy, VXJasonXV. So he has worked very hard on this segment after he got his Stadia to give his impressions for you guys. And so I'm very happy to debut it here tonight for you guys. So I want to say a big preemptive thank you to Jason for this. I'm really excited to have this here on the show tonight. So without further ado, let's get to Jason's thoughts on Google Stadia.
Radio. With your hosts, Dark Sakura, Sky, and Loki.
Tonight, Jason gets more than 13 seconds of airtime. I get to chat at you during this break about my feelings on Google Stadia, the next great streaming game service. What do I think about it? Find out right now on Orange VoiceOver Radio.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Google Stadia, Google's first great foray into non-mobile gaming. Stadia officially released the week of November 18th. Depending on where you live and your circumstances, you likely received it someday that week. My account setup email came out on Wednesday, which I promptly opened and set up, waiting anxiously for the Stadia package to arrive the next day, and it did. The Stadia package arrived on Thursday while I was still working. I did open it up, inspect all the contents, take initial notes on all the hardware, and plugged in the controller to charge it just in case I decided to use it wirelessly. You receive your color choice of a very typical-looking console controller with a slight difference in buttons. There's a double row of menu buttons on the top of the front face of the controller, a Stadia button located in the same place as the PlayStation button on PlayStation-style controllers. It has PlayStation-style analog sticks parallel at the bottom, yet Microsoft-style face buttons, A on bottom, Y on top. There is also the requisite physical documentation with the lightest of details, a Chromecast Ultra and its power brick. The most noteworthy detail in all of this was that the Chromecast's power brick has an Ethernet port in it, which was neat. I've since learned this is a standard feature of the Chromecast Ultra, but I've never used that before I received it in this package. So it's still neat. I had a bunch of things to do on Thursday after I was done working, so the bulk of my review time wasn't particularly extensive. It was only about a little bit over an hour. As I do with all new systems, I spent the first amount of time going through the menus, and the first point of contention I faced was that when you use Stadia.com on a PC, you have no access to the Stadia store. Both Stadia.com and playing via the Chromecast tell you to open the app to manage your Stadia library or purchase games. So, I pull up my phone and claim the first two free Stadia Pro subscriber games, Samurai Showdown, naturally the 2019 release, and Destiny 2 The Collection. Given the lack of time I had Thursday night, I opted for Samurai Showdown because I probably wouldn't even get through character creation in Destiny 2. Based off how plain Destiny went, I was correct in that assumption. Google has a gigantic leg up on content service providers. Their history, growth, and optimization for all things networking means that they have data centers around the world, close to major internet hubs, and in some cases even closer to consumers. This capacity is immense for their purposes alone, and grows even larger still since they sell it to customers via Google Cloud. And then there's the technical proficiency of the tools in use. Their stewardship of the VP9 codec, the video codec they encode every YouTube video into, among others, means that they have gigantic amounts of source materials and tools to encode, stream, and leverage the codec's capability. I assume Stadia's output is VP9. I don't actually know. There's been nothing in the Stadia interface that actually reports this. There's no technical details right-click option that I noticed, and I haven't done the research for it yet. But if they don't use VP9 for this, I would be very surprised. So, my Stadia controller had already been plugged in and was charging. I had to install Chrome in order to access Stadia.com on this PC, as I hadn't yet. And upon starting Samurai Showdown, I immediately ran into something peculiar. When you hit a button on any controller in Samurai Showdown for the first time, it displays the confirmation that the device is in use. I had accidentally hit a key on the keyboard, and it said keyboard connected. And then when I used the Stadia controller, it said Player 2's controller is connected. Player 2. And, unsurprisingly, Player 2's controller is not able to navigate the menus, so the Stadia controller was doing effectively nothing in-game. okay, I have a lot of accessories plugged into this PC. Is a player two because the keyboard was pressed first? Close the game, log back into it, hit the controller first. Nope. Still player two controller connected. Look around at all my obvious things. My VR controllers are shut off. I do have the Xbox wireless adapter plugged in. Might have to remove that. Oh, wait a second. My Xbox One controller didn't land on the dock correctly, so it was still on. Okay, shut that off, restart the game just because of habits. And now the Stadia controller connects for player one. Hooray! This was an immediate realization that the Stadia controller is seemingly not necessary. The upfront $129 cost for Stadia now feels excessive, but more on that in a little bit. Samurai Showdown played well. There were no glaring visual imperfections to speak of. I could tell a minor fuzzing and shine that I know has to do with re-encoding into lossy codecs, but only because I'm looking for it. Only because I'm really staring at the sharp edge of static lines and text. If you want an example of what this is and why it is, I recommend Tom Scott's video, Why Snow and Confetti Ruin YouTube Video Quality. The weirdest thing about this is load times in the game. Between battles, there's still a 3 to 5 second load time. Whenever I think of a server-backed system, I immediately expect the server to be powerful. More powerful than my PC, more powerful than whatever system I'm using to access it. The load time is likely no worse than it would be if locally on my PC, and giving every player a super-powered PC doesn't really scale to the number of players I assume Google hopes to achieve with this. So, makes sense. The controls for Samurai Showdown felt a little rigid, but I think that's intentional. Samurai Showdown historically has always been a bit more strict, more so than Street Fighter, way less floaty than Super Smash Bros. But granted, this is also an assumption. I haven't played Samurai Showdown since the original Neo Geo version, and I was never any good at it. This isn't something that I can compare a feel against, because that varies from game to game. And again, I don't have enough experience with Samurai Showdown. This is something that's going to be best determined by something that I'm adequately experienced with, and as of this writing, the only games that I played outside of Stadia in its library are Thumper and Trials Rising, and I'm not really interested in rebuying games. And that's a pretty big sticking point for me. I consider the library to be one of Stadia's two elephants in the room. I don't like the purchasing model. Google Play should sell these games directly. This was my biggest complaint about OnLive, because if they fold and I lose my library, that hurts. And as far as I'm aware, that's exactly what happened. I didn't lose anything at the time because they were waiving subscription charges, and I just used the 30-minute free trials of all of the games that they offered. I never bought anything directly through OnLive. But all of this comes through as being a digital purchaser. I've used Steam since its release in 2004. I can't tell you the last time I bought a boxed PC game. Since about 2 to 3 years into the 3DS's life, and this entire generation of gaming consoles, I have a strictly digital library. No Xbox discs, no PS4 discs, no Switch cartridges. Okay, that's a lie. I have a disc of Titanfall for the Xbox One, but that's because I wanted the limited edition box and the game came with, but it's still shrink-wrapped. And I already own the game digitally. I have a high degree of confidence in Microsoft and Sony's staying power. I had little confidence in OnLive's staying power, and I'm on the fence about Google's continued support of Stadia, so I'm kind of torn. And this doesn't apply to Game Pass nor PS Now. Those are both in addition to something you already have. For Game Pass, you already have a PC or an Xbox One. For PS Now, you already have a PlayStation or a Vita or a PlayStation TV. Do those still work if you already own them? I don't actually know. But on that fact, the PlayStation TV, a product, died before PS Now. The service did. Game Pass and PlayStation Now can persist as long as those two companies are still in the gaming business. And even if those services go away, there's a fallback. They still offer their digital library for use on hardware directly. So then what is Stadia's fallback? I don't know of one that already exists. I don't know if they've said there will be one. I do hope one comes. So, going back to the $129 upfront cost, when you sit back and add it up, it's not unreasonable. For $129, you get a controller, $40, a Chromecast Ultra, $70, Stadia Pro for 3 months, which is a $30 value so far as they've announced so far. I'm not paying for Stadia Pro until February 2020. It does seem like Google is taking a bit of a loss here. I do think that allowing people that already have a game controller and a PC, which is many people, to pay $10 and just start playing games would have been a great decision on their part. After all, the point here is to not need powerful hardware. Okay, enough about all this. Let's play some games. Yeah, Samurai Showdown played well. I made it through a handful of rounds against CPU opponents. I dared not play human opponents because I'm not good at fighting games. And I didn't want to focus my attention on battles. I wanted to focus my attention on everything else that Stadia is offering about this experience. My first round of playing was on a Windows PC, Ethernet wired directly into my router, using the Stadia controller via Google Chrome. And it held up really well. As I said, I also played with my Xbox controller, which also worked, albeit without the convenience features the Stadia controller has for simple game exiting, nor the ability to take quick screenshots and game clips, so on and so forth. I don't know what more I can say here. Stadia held up on my network. I use Comcast. It's rated at 85 megabits per second as an average download speed, sub 20 millisecond latency, all of this to some speed test server that my router uses. And this is also on Amplify router equipment. I played a game, and it felt good, which for being on some server somewhere reasonably geographically close to me, I assume, is a good sign. My second round, I played Destiny. I have played through the story of Destiny 1. I enjoy and play a lot of first-person shooters, and this is probably more representative. Not only this, but this was also done on Stadia via the Chromecast, and I did not plug in an Ethernet cable. I had slightly lower hopes for this because I know wireless latency, but I was still really pleased with the result. I set up my character, I did the opening Guardian revival wake-up and the initial quest to make it to the city, and there were one or two points in which the quality stuttered a tiny little bit in random moments, not like too much going on the screen, anything like that. I didn't notice if this actually impacted my inputs. It was only notable for output video frame stutter, frame drops, actually, and there were at least 2 to 3 occasions where the output video quality dropped. It was either a bitrate drop or a 4K downgrade to 1080p, maybe both. I also was not playing this on a 4K TV, so I'm not sure. Again, there's no technical indicators on the game screen to tell you anything like this, at least as far as I've encountered. There might be some indicator if the output channel fails outright for some reason, but that hasn't happened in my admittedly only few hours of playing so far. The cute part of Stadia, socially speaking, was that the group of Guardians that I crossed paths with in the opening sequence showed up in my recent player section of the iOS app. Cute. That said, I have not yet played Stadia via my phone nor a tablet. So Stadia isn't bad, network conditions permitting. If you have quality internet and network equipment, but lack any other high-powered devices, be those being a console or a sufficiently powered PC, this could be a huge boon for you. I don't expect it to be an overwhelming success, because the players that would choose to use it are a subset of players that will put money into this hobby and don't already have a console, don't have an up-to-date PC for these modern games, etc. But those players definitely exist. For me, I need to go make some progress in Death Stranding. So, back to you, Studio N7.
All right. Thank you so much to Jason for that. It was neat to kind of hear the thoughts on Google Stadia, not just like, especially like not just all like the bad stuff or the hang-ups or even just all the good stuff, but I like that Jason kind of like took a deeper dive there and was kind of talking a little bit about some of the things under the hood and like was actually showing like the app. I had no idea that that was a thing. Like the app would show you like who you were actually like kind of playing with and things like that. So that part was kind of neat. So thank you. And folks in chat giving some kudos as well. ActDef saying great video indeed. And yes, some folks also in chat are noticing that we have a plus one now in studio. So Alan has taken a seat and joined us here in studio. Hi, Alan. How are you? Nice to have you back on the show.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm here against my will.
Now, come on. Come on. You made people think I'm so mean. But no, well, I had to have you.
Yes.
Because I think you know about a certain news item that came out this week.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't play Half-Life. He doesn't play Half-Life. She doesn't play Half-Life. So when it comes to the resident Half-Life stand of the house, that would be you.
Yes.
So you love Half-Life, right?
I do.
And what is it about the Half-Life games that just you love?
It really was the first FPS to incorporate narrative storytelling into the gameplay without use of cutscenes. Because, well, cutscenes back then in the late 90s weren't really a thing to begin with. I mean, outside of RPGs, rather. It's really, like, deep sci-fi without being too convoluted. I just think gameplay is great.
Okay. So obviously, I think you heard the big news this week about Half-Life. They didn't announce Half-Life 3, but they announced a new Half-Life game of some sort, right?
Yes.
So I'm sure you have seen all the news on Half-Life Alyx.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts? Are we going to have to buy a VR setup?
There's a scene in the show Mad Men where Don Draper is in like an elevator with this junior associate, and the junior associate's talking to Mr. Draper, and he says, "You know, buddy, I'm really worried about you. I worry about you." And Don Draper says, "I don't think about you at all." That's sort of his retort. I feel nothing about this announcement. I don't mean that pejoratively. I've so absolutely made peace with the fact that I'm not going to get Half-Life 3 that I don't feel there's like a hole. There's a vacuum where my heart should be. And I'm like, oh, anyway, so I'm hungry. Where do you want to go to Chipotle? It's like the dad that leaves when you're three and you and your mom grew up to be fine. And then you find out like, oh yeah, he's alive. He's living in Texas. Do you want to go meet him? And it's like, I don't bear any ill will towards this person, but like, I don't know him. He's a stranger, you know, like it's so that's really what I'm getting at. It looks well made. The biggest thing, it's a relief that knowing that Valve has like an A programming team that still makes games, that was the revelation. I was like, it wasn't so much, oh, fuck, it's like new Half-Life. It was more Valve has a video game that isn't just the maintenance team for Dota and Team Fortress 2. This is incredible. They make blue chip products still. That's really what I... That was the stunner for me, but I don't care for the fact that it takes place between Half-Life 1 and 2, or particularly before Half-Life 2. There was a rumor that at the end of Half-Life 2 Episode 3, Gordon was going to die, and then it's sort of revealed, like the G-Man comes out and reveals that Alyx was always like the chosen one, and Gordon was sort of like a means to an end to get her to a certain point. So I love Alyx is one of the best sort of like side NPC characters like ever made. So Alyx is incredible. But yeah, the fact that it's sort of like a weird timeline thing that they wedged in. I don't care about VR. I think that this is going to be the killer app that VR needs for people to pay attention to it, because Beat Saber was, I think, the killer app for a lot of people. But even then, it's kind of a music game. There's a novelty to it. I think Beat Saber is incredible.
It's a killer app.
Yeah.
But it's one killer app.
Yes. There's still a point of entry with... because, like, there's the PlayStation VR. To use, like, a Vive or the Oculus, you need a computer to go with it that's still pretty powerful. I know people were saying 5 years ago that PC gaming was going to be dead. That turned out to be a complete and utter lie. PC gaming is a strong... They're porting stuff to PC that's, like, years and years old just because they can. Like, you've got Square releasing Saga Frontier 3 or Saga 3 on Switch, but also PC, because why not?
Well, we did it for Android. Might as well.
Yeah, so PC gaming is as relevant as it's ever been, but the fact that the point of entry with, and also, so like, I'm sure it'll get cracked so that you don't need a VR device to play it, because it's going to run off PC that then runs through your Oculus or to your Vive, whatever is a Valve-compatible VR device. But like, I don't care about that. And this also does sort of give credence to the rumor that the reason why Gabe, I'm going off, like, I'll talk like this for the next 3 hours if you want. Is chat enjoying this?
Well, I was going to ask you about this because you call it Vive. I thought it was Vive.
Vive, whatever.
No, they like your analogy, so please keep going.
So I lost Ugh, I lost my train of thought.
So you're talking about hacker, because we got into this earlier in the show, is that hackers are inevitably going to make you able to play this VR game on your keyboard and mouse.
Possibly.
However, is
possibly.
That really going to work? Because certainly the reason why this is in VR is that there's going to be certain things, like you have to do this with your hands, or you have to do this certain motion that might not translate very well into keyboard and mouse. So not only is somebody going to have to hack it to play on the computer, but somebody's, or excuse me, on the monitor and keyboard, mouse, but somebody's going to have to hack the control scheme to get around things that are going to be very, very VR specific.
Yeah. So I'm not really interested in upgrading my PC to support whatever device it is. I have other things to spend money on. I'm glad that Half-Life fans, I think we're all like, I mean, I remember what I was going to say. There was a rumor that the reason why Gabe didn't want to do Half-Life 3 is because he considers Half-Life to be this thing that has to show off the next evolution of gaming or whatever weird BS, like, had lost up his ass that he is. Because with Half-Life 2, it was twofold. It was the physics engine that was Source 2, which at the time was revolutionary, and the physics and weight puzzles that were in Half-Life 2, and then also Half-Life 2 was their modality of launching Steam. And, you know, Mark Laidlaw basically released the script for episode 3 because it had been so goddamn long that NDA, thank you, Jamie. The NDA had, like, run out, so he's like, here's what the script of episode 3 was. And I guess Gabe was like, no, I'm not going to make Half-Life 3 unless we have something worthy of it, technology-wise, to show off. That was always like a weird rumor. And the fact that Gabe dined from his ivory tower, yes, here's a little crumb, a little morsel of Half-Life content. The fact that it's attached to like what is probably the best big-budget VR title that we're going to see for a very long time, that sort of gives credence to that theory that Gabe doesn't want to put Half-Life on things that aren't revolutionary, whatever buzzwordy, whatever definition of that it is. So my point is that I'm not surprised that we are finally seeing Half-Life content attached to VR, because VR is sort of the thing where the technology's there, it looks great, it plays great. People don't care yet. And like, is Half-Life Alyx going to make them care? It's going to be closer, you know, it's closer than they ever have been in the past.
I will say the takeaway that I took from the trailer, and not to repeat myself too much because we already got into this earlier in the show, but for your benefit, you know, I'm not the big Half-Life fan. You are. I appreciate it. I understand why it's popular and all that. excuse me. But I was more taken back, like, ooh, this is pretty. Are they going to use this engine to make more games? Is this the new Source?
Exactly.
Is this
Source
3? Portal 3 is going to look like? Is this what my... you know, these other future Valve games are going to look like. But Half-Life VR, meh, I'm not my thing.
Yeah. So the fact that it's wedged into the current timeline, it's not a sequel to either episode 2 or whatever. The fact that it's VR, I'm so pleased to see that the programmers, the software developers who work at Valve haven't just been getting a paycheck with no product for the last, I don't know, what is the last real big blue chip Valve game that they... It's Dota, right? Dota's the last big thing they put out?
Probably Dota 2, unless you were to count like the pack-in stuff, the stuff that shows off the Vive.
Yeah, Vive whatever.
the cute little like portal, like there's like a launching game, you know, in a warehouse. So there's like a little mini-game collection, the Wii games.
The fact that the developers at Valve were given an opportunity to program something big budget and like A-list... for me is an epiphany. I thought that they gave up eight and nine years ago and they were just letting Steam break in billions for them. So the fact that they just even made a game is great, but it's like there's a vacuum where my heart should be. It's not pejorative. It's been so long that I want more. I don't care about this.
All right.
So there you go, folks.
But I'm bummed. Are you going to go and revisit the old Half-Life games as you do? Like once a year, I see you firing up Black Mesa.
I played the Zen update for Black Mesa, which came out, I think, 4 or 5 months ago. If you haven't played it, it's incredible. I think they've released the chapter after the big head, whatever the big head crab boss behemoth is. So I haven't played that, so there's still Black Mesa content I need to follow up on, or I may just wait for them to actually put out the whole rest of Zen, because there's only like one or two chapters left, and then the game's done. I will revisit Half-Life 1 and 2 and Black Mesa at some point, but Half-Life Alyx, I'm going to play it at some point, but like... 10 years from now,
borrow his VR.
It's cool. I like Alyx fine. It's just I've moved on. I've grown as a person. You waited too long, Gabe. I don't care. Yeah.
All right.
Do you have any thoughts, Matt? Because I see you kind of eyeing the mic.
No, I don't. I mean, I'll check it out when it comes out. I mean, I'm sure it won't be that expensive of a game, so.
So we've derailed a bit from the show role as listed on the television screen. But I do want to, since we do have Alan here, I want to ask you about one other thing. So you're not really playing Half-Life at the moment, and it doesn't sound like you're going to be playing Half-Life Alyx anytime in the future. But I noticed you have been playing. What have you been playing? You know, I got to ask you about this one. So what have you been playing?
We talked about this the last time you had me on the show.
Did we?
Yeah, because I said, everyone Google Project Brutality 3, and I saw Matt Google it right here. It's Doom. Doom mods.
So it's the same thing you talked about weeks ago on the show. I thought you were doing something new with it. You haven't beat it yet?
Well, no. It has all of these new enemies, and you sort of can control like what randomization it has for the enemies and weapons. So I play it, and then I bump it up a notch. Like I want these really impossible monsters to spawn on level 3 instead of level 8, and then level 8's going to have like even more terrifying stuff. So I've just been playing around with the config. It's an incredible mod. There's like dozens of options. So that still got my attention.
It's just funny when I kind of peek my head on, because we still have that giant green screen that separates the two sides of the office. So when I peek my head over on your side of the office, I'm like, you're still playing Doom? Do you know how old that game is?
Yeah, and then so you said, and this is funny. I hope that chat, you enjoy this, the viewers at home. You said, so you're still playing Doom, but you've modded it to death, right? And I said, yes. And then I press the G key and I throw a grenade. And he's like, why did you throw a grenade? You can't throw grenades in Doom. And I looked at Rob and I said, the words that just came out of your mouth were, modded it to death. What does that mean?
You can leave my program.
Yes.
Give the mic to Loki and remove yourself from the stage.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts.
They have mods available where you can fuck the enemies in the game.
Oh, boy.
Because they turn into hentai women hentai like stuff. There's anything you could possibly do in Doom, you can do. So throwing grenades is the least.
In all seriousness, thanks to Alan for letting me put him on the spot with his Half-Life impressions. He did a very good job with that, so appreciate it as always. For now, though, let's get back into what we have coming up with our rapid-fire news. Loki.
I didn't even realize this is how often I play racing games nowadays, but I didn't even realize that Toyota has been holding out from putting their cars in games. So that's a thing. Apparently, since 2017, they have not been including their games in racing games. But now that's going to change. Apparently, they're going to start putting them back into games, starting with Forza. So they're on December 12th, Forza 4 is going to get the 1998 Toyota Supra RZ as part of the Series 17 update. It's interesting. Someone was asking them about Need for Speed, and apparently they said they didn't want to promote illegal street racing. Come on. Dude, seriously, really?
It's a video game.
Like,
give me
all
a break.
The other companies are doing it.
Seriously.
Stupid. But, yeah. Funny enough, since we were just talking about Doom, if you're interested in 90s shooters like the such, you might want to check out Hellbound, which apparently is going to be coming out pretty soon. They have a demo that is available that you can check out. And it looks pretty awesome. Very much a Doom Quake vibe going on there. and that's available on Steam.
All right. Yay, demos. For those of you that are into Pokemon Go, the details have been announced for Community Day for December. So like last year, it's going to be an encore weekend, so you can catch all of the Community Day Pokemon from prior Community Days in 2019.
Hooray.
So it will be boosted all weekend. And then I think there's special events that happen from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Where you get the catch Stardust, the catch XP, and half egg distance. And if I remember right, that's the time when the shinies really show up too, is that same like 3 hour period. So if you really want shinies, that's the time to play the game. So Community Day weekend, but from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., everything will be boosted. So you can check that all out on Saturday, December 14th, as well as Sunday, December 15th. That's pretty cool.
We did stuff like around holidays, like, you know, like Thanksgiving.
Well, I think they have something for the day. There's a Team Rocket event going on right now, and I thought there was something about you can trade like half Stardust trading, and I think you can do two special trades a day, and that's going to start like the Thanksgiving weekend. And I thought it was really well timed because you're going to have people that are visiting from far away, visiting family, so it's the time where people are going to be like, oh, here's my regional. You know, you can pick this up.
That's
going to be pretty cool. So that is coming to the game. Also, and I should mention this because a lot of people are excited about this. Any Pokemon you evolve during that time frame will get the community move from the Community Day. So you have a second chance to get the special move. What's important about this is that that part of it is not just 2019. It's 2018 as well. So some people have been sitting on 100% Larvitars for a long time, waiting to get a Tyranitar with the special move that's only from Community Day. So you will have that chance during December Community Day. So people very hyped about that. So, all right. Also, we should talk a little bit about Steam Remote Play Together, because that is now out of beta.
That is awesome. And they have a sale going on to promote it.
They do. So if you are not familiar with Steam Remote Play Together, it's pretty much PlayStation 4 share play, but it's on Steam. You can play local multiplayer. So even if your game doesn't support online, you can do local multiplayer. And then this also will work with cross-platform play. So I could be on Windows and Dark Soccer could be on Mac and Loki could be on Linux and we could still all play together. So that's pretty cool. It's still all through like Steam. So
are you saying that super multitasking versus I'm going to actually be able to play?
You may remember we asked Aaron about that when he was here announcing it, and he's not building it with that in mind. He's building it for, you know, the expos and same room and all that. And I think,
but no,
the,
no, no. But this
lag
works.
Could be
no. This works with all.
No, I know. But you, if there's any lag, you know how that game can be very unforgiving. So if any lag comes into it or what have you, you know, like, would you play a music game over SharePlay?
Well,
yeah. So
maybe
the lag, you know. It will it work? Yes. Will it work well? To be determined.
But will it blend?
Yes. And unofficially, or I should say, it's unofficial. It's not supported by the dev, I guess would be a way to say that. All right. Anyway, Darksoccer, you have a few things for us.
Soul Calibur 6 Season 2 will actually be starting tomorrow, November 25th, for us here on Sunday. And it has a downloadable character, Hilda. Will be on November 26th, along with the creation parts set C, as stated by Bandai Namco. It will. She's got. There's actually will be a soul attack and resist impact battle systems. A new stage called Silver Wolves Haven, and a training exclusive stage called Grand Labyrinth Sealed Corridor. Different UI stuff too, and season two will also introduce three other characters. Including Haomaru from Samurai Showdown. And let me see if I can get the other two while I'm here. Cassandra. And I don't see who else. Cassandra, Haomaru, Hilda. So, yeah. And then also in other news, which I'm sure a lot of people were aware of, is that Arc System Works has a trailer for new Guilty Gear coming out. And it's going to be called Guilty Gear Strive. I'd actually already been looking at that because I was kind of thinking of cosplaying May. So, but the trailer came out and it's rebranded a few things around there, brought in some old school characters like Chip and May and Potemkin and Soul Bad Guy, who just has the best name. So, actually bringing out, bringing back from the first Guilty Gear, Dr. Baldhead, who became Faust. So But I think they're bringing him back as that role, so that'd be cool. That's it.
All right, cool. We're going to now travel around the world and check out release dates. I have a feeling this is going to be a quick segment, at least certainly the U.S. part of it. I can't imagine it's going to be hopping.
It is a very Japanese week, ironically. So the two games we have coming out this week, Cyber Troopers Virtual On Masterpiece 1995 to 2001 on PlayStation 4 and SD Gundam G Generation Cross Rays on PC. That's it.
That's it. Well,
happy Thanksgiving from Japan.
To be expected. Now, funny, going over to Japan, you still have some releases because obviously Thanksgiving is not a factor over there. But we do have some releases this week in Japan, including on the PlayStation 4 this week, 13 Sentinels, Aegis Rim. We also have that same SD Gundam Generation Cross Rays is also out in Japan, perhaps why it's timed for the world at the same time. We also have Ibea comes out in regular and premium editions this week, as well as Amamein comes out this week. And then we get A Plague Tale Innocence and a price reduction just in time for the next season, Soul Calibur 6. Price reduction also coming in for Days Gone. But here's the title of the week. Here's the name that got me. So coming to the PlayStation 4 this week from publishers 5PB is the game, Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Infinite Combat.
I love it.
And so, of course, I had to look. Like, I was like, "What the fuck?"
Can
and get
put
this
him on the battlefield.
Well, I should have known. That's an anime based on the popular anime. Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Infinite Combat will let you play from the perspective of the protagonists, and they will head into dungeons and interact with characters in the dungeons. So. Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? I guess find out when that title releases this week on PlayStation 4 in Japan. Looking quickly at the Nintendo Switch to see if there's anything I should note here, except I clicked the wrong thing and accidentally brought up Nintendo 3DS, which is not looking great. But on the Switch, yes, we have that same SD Gundam game is out there too. Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? We have two new ones that aren't on PlayStation. Flowers, which is not to be confused with the Journey Flower game. This is another one that looks like it's based off a anime or manga. And then Japanese Rail Sim 3D, Journey to Kyoto, comes out this week. And that looks really pretty. It shows, like, the train on the front cover is going through this very, like, flowery type of village, and it's a pink train. So, fun.
There is a Hello Kitty train.
Yeah, so if you want to travel on a train from your Nintendo Switch, you can import that lovely title from Japan. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Three games. And one of them I thought I had already mentioned, but apparently I guess they moved the date or something. The Asterix and Obelix game is coming out on November 27th for the big three. And then for Switch, we have Black Sad Under the Skin. This kind of almost like a modern noir from the picture. And then on the 28th, also Honor and Duty D-Day All Out War Edition. That's it.
All right. SSJ and Matt in chat says, this is cracking me up. I don't know why. It's a comment about the train sim game that I said. SSJ and Matt says, there better be some train drifting action. And that makes me laugh because I'm like, that would be actually really funny. Can you imagine like a high-speed train racing game?
Have you not seen YouTube?
Oh, is that a thing?
It is a thing. They have a game that is train drifting.
Really?
They do. It is a real thing.
Okay, is the train actually on rails or?
It is on rails.
Wow.
It's a ridiculous game. They actually did it during one of the AGDQs.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I don't remember the name, but it is a thing.
Okay.
And it is awesome.
I was just thinking how funny it would be if you had a game like Mario Kart, but you were driving this car that was just like pulling 20 cars behind it, and so it turns into like Mario Kart and Snake at the same time or Tron light bikes or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, it is called Densha de Lightning Stage.
Oh, it's in the Densha de Go series.
Yeah. And Orange Wright just gets a gold star for naming it first in chat. There you go.
So. They did it at AGDQ 2018, okay. And it was hilarious.
All right. Let's move on to the mailbag. I think we have at least one letter tonight. Participate at orangelaundry.com is the place to send emails. Dark Sakura.
We have two, actually. One of them I can only read in partially. So one is from Ferdos Wagons. I'm going to be nice. Hey, OLR, if you were forced to pick only one game to play for the rest of your life, what game would you choose? First of all, I wouldn't choose because I don't have to. Question really makes no sense to me.
It's just a fun hypothetical.
But these hypotheticals are illogical.
I don't know. People want to know. All right, look, I'll answer it because I'm going to be that bitch and be the genie, or excuse me, the one that wishes for more wishes when the genie comes out, because the game I would pick would be Little Big Planet. I guess namely Little Big Planet 3, because I could get Little Big Planet 1 and 2 because I could play other games that people have made. Mario Maker would be a really good choice in that regard too, or I suppose Dreams. Might be the ultimate game to pick for that. So that is my clever little tongue-in-cheek way around the
question.
I would
pick my 285-in-1 cartridge Super Nintendo.
There you go. See? It's not that hard a question to answer. But I, in all seriousness, though, even though I kind of joke that that's a way to wish for more wishes, at the same time, actually, Little Big Planet was a really fucking solid platforming game that was a lot of fun. And like Mario Maker... I mean, Super Mario is one of the – it was my favorite game of the year. Like, I – honestly, even without the fact that I'm essentially getting more games in one with those picks, they would be worthy selections. I mean, I guess otherwise I'd say what? Super Metroid? Duh. Loki, do you have a game? One game for the rest of your life?
One game? If I'm going to pick a game for the rest of my life, it's going to be fucking laser tag.
Oh, okay.
Except I would have to pick a specific laser tag. So
did you know your laser tag over here is a portal now? The one that you, the new one that you...
The new laser tag is a portal?
It's a portal.
Why can that be a portal? But the one I suggested back in May is not a fucking anything yet because it's sitting there in goddamn limbo. But that place, it has nothing of fucking significance there.
I know why. Because the player that submitted it has an Onyx reviewing badge, so like all her stuff gets upgraded.
God fucking damn it. I swear to God.
All right. Anyway, next email.
Okay, so this is the one I can't read because it really, it's, well, I'll go ahead and read it. Okay, this is from Robert. I don't know why it was sent for this, but I'll go ahead and read it. Updating, actually, I'm not going to read it because there's a lot of stuff in here that's wrong. Because first of all, Mac OS 8 came out about 25 years ago. And he's talking about current operating systems. So Mac OS 8 doesn't work, doesn't function on anything modern. So, and iOS 10 is 3 years old. We're on iOS 13 now.
Okay. If we're not reading it, then don't read it.
Yeah. But
is
I'm
there
just
a part of it that we are going
to
read?
No. I'm just going to basically say, I said in my reply to him that I was going to acknowledge that he sent the email. And thank you for writing in. We'll talk about this one privately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's all. So that's it.
Well, it's not every day someone gets a personal response from Dark Soccer.
He got two personal responses because he was sending me something that should have gone to another podcast.
Oh.
On our network.
Oh, okay.
But I'll just say this right now.
Laugh.
It's inappropriate to send it to our participate inbox instead of reaching out directly to contact the proprietor of the podcast directly.
Was it negative?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
But it's still, we check this box like once a week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's just.
Your message isn't going to get to them in time.
Yeah, it's not going to get to them in the time we manage.
And on top of that, again, if it's an important enough message like that, you need to reach out to the proprietor of that particular podcast.
Oh, now I'm curious what it is. I didn't see it. So
I'll tell you what it was later.
All right. That's fine. All right. Well, there you go. Oh, Bobby says he got it too. That's so interesting. All right. Anyway.
So again, and I just was in my message. It's inappropriate. Go ahead and contact them directly.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. I think we have some more stories to get to. So we'll start with you, Loki. What do you have next?
So this is pretty cool. Someone had taken it upon themselves to port over Super Mario Land to the Super Nintendo. So they dubbed it New Super Mario Land. It is basically recreating the whole game from scratch. It is not a ROM hack. It is its own thing. It actually has four-player multiplayer in it as well, and apparently pushes the Super Nintendo to its limits as far as what it's able to do. What they've done with some of the animation, it's basically kind of...
I have the crappiest, like, 20-second clip.
Oh, I had a...
Well,
like,
and on top of that, they're not going to release it. That's the annoying part, because he did it as a Christmas present.
The thing is...
What? Okay, the other clip that you're thinking of was, like, some dude's YouTube, and I didn't want to put the whole... thing
right,
with his
right,
talking head
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah, so
that's the clip you get.
So the thing is that files have their way of making it out to the internet. So whereas he said he wasn't going to release it on the internet, it's on the internet.
He sent it to 30 people. That's it. That's all you need. That then one of those 30 put it back on the internet.
So, you know, it may have been out there in a place where I found it, and so I was able to get it, and yeah. But yeah, it looked really cool, and it's, I mean, it's just a complete remake of the whole game, and the fact that he did this just with straight raw assembly, and they even have, like, sound samples that, you know, it's basically like Mario's voice from, like, some of the other games, you know, it's just ridiculous. And the art style is done very much like he did, or like Donkey Kong Country, where it's actually he made the renders. So, like, they did an interview with him on Nintendo Life talking about how he did. And so he actually created the models in Blender and then ended up scanning them and putting them as sprites into the game. And just, I mean, the amount of work that it would take to do that, it's just ridiculous, but pretty cool.
All right. Well, moving on, we just have a few more stories for you guys, and then we're going to get to our Discord. So if you guys want to participate with the show by calling in tonight, you sure can by joining our Discord. You can join the green room. And we will be taking your calls live on air. Of course, if you have questions in chat, you can get those out there too. I will do my very best to get any questions you guys have for us to discuss here at the end of the show. But we have a few more stories before we get there, including this one on Fortnite, a new dungeon crawl mode in Fortnite. So specifically Fortnite Save the World, which I was so irritated when I found out and figured out, oh, Fortnite Save the World is the one you have to pay for early access for. I went and I fucking installed Fortnite again on my computer just so I could play this, only to find out, wah, wah, you got to pay $40 if you want to access this mode. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm not paying $40 for a game I feel kind of on the fence about. I don't really, like, I want to know if the dungeon crawler is good, though. That's the problem. But anyway, I guess I've ruined the story for myself, but I was just so irritated by, oh, man, you mean I got to pay for a video game? But anyway, Fortnite Save the World has a subterranean area to explore in Hexylvania. You can get new weapons, new loot, and there's new heroes to battle the monsters there, which, of course, will be hiding the ultimate boss because that's how a dungeon crawler works. Swamp Knight made their debut in Fortnite along with Mermonster Ken, and then I guess the Mythic Storm Kings. There's all these new characters, and there's a new crossover quest with that. I was all about trying the dungeon crawler because I was like, oh, this might be a fun mode and something that's a little more like PvE in Fortnite, which is what Save the World is. But Save the World is still in early access, so you have to pay $40 if you want to be able to access it. Rumor is it's supposed to be on its way out of early access at some point in the near future, but I think a lot of people thought it would happen when the black hole event just happened and it went into, what do they call it, chapter 2 or something? So they thought that would be the point that Save the World goes free, but it didn't. They're still charging for it. So
got to make their money.
I'm going to wait for, like, I'll try maybe $20, but I'm not paying $40. Especially when I don't know much about the mode. Now at this point, I'm like, all right, I guess I will try to find a YouTuber or a Twitch streamer that's playing this part of Fortnite. I mean, I've watched, like, Flocko play the 100 match, and it looks like he's having fun. I'm kind of like, oh, it's interesting to watch, but just when I play it, it's terrible, and I don't know what I'm doing. There's no tutorial, or maybe if there is, I haven't found it because I installed the game a long time ago. But, I don't know. I can't get into Fortnite the same way everybody else does. So, all right. Anyhow, let's move on. And I forgot to advance there to Fortnite Save the World, but we just talked about that. So let's go to another Stadia follow-up, Dark Soccer, right?
So Stadia users have been complaining that on their Chromecast Ultra, it's been getting extremely hot and it forces the system to shut down mid-game without saving their progress. One Reddit user said that in the middle of a Destiny 2 fight, the Chromecast died and lost connectivity to the network. And then when he went to go and plug it from power, it was incredibly hot. Well, people say it's hot. They're supposed to have some sort of heat protection in it anyway. But one of the Google representatives said, and this is a quote, "We know any sort of heat on a device can be worrisome, but we confirm there's no thermal overheating issue with the Chromecast Ultra. During normal usage, it can get hot to the touch, but it's working as designed," which is fine. You know, we deal with that with computers all the time. You've got them working. They're going to get hot. They're going to be hot to the touch. You know, don't put your laptop on your fucking lap because heat sinks are in the bottom of it. Vents are in the back. Don't look at me because I know what I'm doing.
I know we don't have a camera on Dark Sakura, but her laptop is in her lap. So but, that's
well,
why
I wouldn't
I'm
think
a face.
It would be necessarily a problem with her laptop. Mine, on the other hand,
yes,
which...
mine doesn't get that hot. And on top of that, you'll notice my vents aren't blocked.
Yeah, and also you're using it for a very limited amount of time.
You see how often I put it back on the table,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm just giving you shit. That's what I do.
Well, at any rate, of course, people don't believe the official word because they don't understand technology. So, but people are saying that, yeah, that it's shutting down 10 minutes after overheating. And that is not how it's supposed to behave. I'll tell you that right now. Usually if something shuts down, like... If I go outside with my phone on a 110 degree day talking to people on it, I'm going to get the thermal warning on my phone. And if I keep using it, it will shut down. If my computer were having a thermal event, I would have a warning pop up and it would shut down. These products are built to shut down when they are too hot. And if it's shutting down and you're getting widespread reports of this, see, they're just talking about the heat, and the heat is normal. But getting so hot that it shuts down, that is not normal. So
especially in November, you know, like my phone will do that in the
well,
summer
months. Our November is 70.
True.
You know, but yeah, and people are like, well, even with all that happening, Stadia just feels really niche and not important. So
I didn't feel Jason's summary was that negative though. And well, not, and Bobby did a summary on it too. And you know, I feel like I do feel that, I mean, not to say like some of the things
that
Jason
said,
yeah, but it's that also is more about like the just the setup of the store and the model to begin with is interesting. But anyway, all right, moving on. We have one more story. This is very sad, but on a respectful note, Loki.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, the creator of, or one of the designers of EverQuest, Brad McQuaid, has passed away. So he passed away in his home at the age of 51. And he was basically known in the community by his alias Eridun. And, you know, started his journey through the game industry back in 89. Worked on a shareware RPG called Wizard War, which I think I played that. And then of course went to work on, you know, EverQuest as well. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a very young age for that to happen. I know they didn't say why, and it's, you know, if the family doesn't want to disclose that, that's not our business.
Exactly.
But very very young and very sad to hear that. He was working on something else, I know too, that unfortunately he will not get to see through to completion. But I know, like, EverQuest in particular, you know, it was such an important game of the MMO genre. I did not get sucked into EverQuest personally, but I darn well recognize that without EverQuest, we wouldn't have, certainly, like, Final Fantasy XI was very EverQuest-inspired, mm-hmm. And we would probably not have things the same way like we have with, like, World of Warcraft and some of the other more modern MMOs that we have, you know, today. So this game really paved the way for that. And certainly, you know, Brad's vision was a huge part of that. I will also give a shout out to Bobby, because I know he did play a lot more EverQuest. He had a very touching tribute on his show tonight. So if he weren't already listening at 5 o'clock when his show was on earlier, excuse me, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern when his show was on earlier, then you will definitely want to check out that podcast feed when it is released. So rest in peace. Always hard to hear about the game designers, you know, that did such big things, especially at such a young age. That's the hardest part of that. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. So hopefully on a happier note, I want to get to our roundtable and invite some of the calls and all that good stuff. And we do have one caller that's on the line. So let's get to it and bring them on the show. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Deft.
Hey, Deft, it's good to hear from you. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was going to write an email about this because it was from last week, but I forgot. So,
whatever. What's on your mind?
Well, yeah.
Tell us about it.
I want to talk about Wayfarer.
Oh, sure. The Niantic point of interest submission. Oh, boy. Can we talk about Wayfarer? Have you seen my Twitter feed?
I've seen
some
posts.
I just decided to go all in this week. I have seen okay, so if you aren't already aware, we did talk about this last week, so I'll try not to repeat myself too much. But the Niantic point of interest system, which was exclusive to Ingress, but affected Pokemon Go and Harry Potter. It opened up to Pokemon Go players of level 40 last week. And I sat here and I complained on the show, oh God, we're going to get all this bullshit that's getting submitted because people are going to think, oh, I want a Pokestop on my couch. And people are going to love that because it's more Pokestops. Whereas I'm like, hold on, what you do affects a variety of games. And you do not want player versus player battles happening on your lawn or whatever bullshit's being submitted. But anyway, that was my take. What's your take, Deft?
And I pretty much agree, on at least for the most part. Because, yeah, there's people that have, like, gyms under house. I personally know that. And it's, like, really, really tough to, like, do raids or something like that on those places. Because, yeah, because it's not necessarily the best. But they're actually like okay submissions. They're not like, oh, they're inside in the house or they're like manipulated. What like you were talking about last week, I think, and I think also Matt showed some of the pictures of someone getting like a statue or something. And yeah, I was like, yeah, and most people here also have the same idea because if something like it's populated here in Mexico, it's like Virgencita murals. We have a lot of religious murals here, and they're legit, they're okay by the Wayfair standards, but it like there's tons of people like saying, oh, I'm gonna make one in my house so I can get a Pokestop or I can get a portal even. But I'm like, no, you shouldn't do that. If you're gonna do something like that, think more like in an open space. And in a place that needs the Pokestop, if there's already already enough POIs on your place or near your place, you don't need more. And that's also like my stance on that. But at the same time, and sometimes because of how the rating works, and especially in places that don't have probably that commodities, especially like talking about safe places that don't have like a proper sidewalk here. In the place I live, there are streets that don't have even like a proper street. They're just dirt. So they don't have a sidewalk. They don't have like a proper place for pedestrians. But if I check that in the Pokestop or the POI, it's in a place that I know that people can traverse walking there, I'm gonna submit it like a safe place because I know it's actually a place that people actually walk on. So
yeah,
that's tough because if you don't know the place, and that's also like one of the things I'm probably like against some of the people like that actually review here is that it is not on a safe place. No, but you don't know the place. If you know the place, you know that all you know. And actually people go there and do what pedestrian stuff. So yeah.
Some of the advice, so this week is what has happened since when I was talking about this last week is that I'm seeing more of the Pokemon Go submissions come through this week. And let me tell you some of my pet peeves. And I think some of the people listening to the show probably know that, but I'm gonna like for what it's worth, I'm gonna put this out there for the greater population. These are some things that are gonna instantly make me like hate your submission. Number one on the list. If your justification says in the justification, we need a Pokestop here because stop talking because what's happened, I've already deducted a star in my mind. I'm not supposed to do that. I'm going to admit I'm not supposed to do that. But in my mind, when you say we need a Pokestop here, you're not submitting this because it's a place of interest. You're not submitting this for the reasons you're supposed to be submitting a portal. You're submitting it because this is convenient for your walk or your life or your way of playing the game. And so when I see that in the justification, I'm looking for reasons to deny it. I'm not going to say I always do it because there was one that came through that said, we need a Pokestop here. And I was like, ugh, it's actually like it was like a war memorial or something. And I was like, ugh, it was like at a post office. And I'm like, I hate this. I hate that I have to approve this, but it actually does meet the standards and it's a super safe place to be. So I'm going to approve it. But like I was looking for a reason to deny it. Like I really was. And you might hate me for saying that, but at the same time, I hate that you're submitting something not for the right reasons. So, deal. And the other thing that, like, oh my God, I've seen some real brazen stuff. Like people submitting the lawn at the apartment complex, calling it a dog park. People submitting a restaurant just because we don't have a Pokestop in the strip mall and we should have one. And I'm just like, well, you're not getting one because this doesn't meet the criteria. So try again. I will say, though, like, you know, I do think – not to say all the Pokemon submissions are shit. I think some of them have been pretty decent. I tend to be a little more – it's interesting, ActDef, because I tend to be a little more forgiving when I see that the submission is in Mexico or Puerto Rico because I know those places are hurting for more points of interest. So I tend to be a little more lenient. But, like, I got one the other day that was exercise equipment at a park. And, like, it's fine. It meets standards. And I approved it, but I know it's going to get denied because the picture was terrible. And it made it look like it was the play structure that was already a portal. So it's not going to go through. I approved it because I'm like, it's pretty much – it's a park. It's Mexico. And it does meet all the standards. Like, I'm fine with this being a submission, but it's not going to – I can tell you it's not going to go through. So be aware of the pictures that you're taking. That is super important. The last thing I would say is that don't submit shit you don't want 30 people there for an EX-rayed for. I saw somebody submit a tree in their backyard called 100-year-old tree. First off, if you do not have an official sign that has the seal of the city or county on it that denotes it as a historic tree, then it's a fucking tree and a natural feature is not a portal. So it's getting denied. Especially when that fucking portal is in your backyard, no matter if you say it's on a walking trail. Whose walking trail, bitch? Yours. No. No Pokestop for you. Shut it down. So anyway.
And yeah, I have seen those kind of submissions. One of the first ones I reviewed there was a simple rock with a Pokeball bag or like a backpack. Over it, I'm like, really? Really? And you have seen, I have tweeted you some of the findings I have encountered this week, so yeah.
I have to read this comment from chat. SSJ100 Matt says, some Pokemon Go players are strange. There's a subset of folks that seem to think that Niantic owes them something and they should make anything a stop. Well, guess what, bitch? Niantic ain't reviewing your portals. They outsource that to the player base. You know who's reviewing your portals? Me. And I don't owe you shit. So take your Pokestop and shove it.
And that's really true. We're basically doing the job that Niantic isn't doing. But at
that's
least,
a whole nother problem, but yeah.
Yeah. But at least in that sense, we're like taking proper precautions and stances on that. So at least that's something I actually like about this, that we are the players are taking care of this. Because yeah, even in my own community, me and some other players, even Ingress players, like we're trying to teach the other players that are submitting, like, oh, you should do this. Like, especially like you said in the part that you need to tell why this should be a POI, we're telling people do not tell that it should be a Pokestop. Tell why it's important for the community. Tell why the history behind the POI. So yeah, we're trying to tell people about that, the pictures, the photos, all that.
You can document this. I can't speak for the entire Ingress player base that is already in Wayfarer and has been using Wayfarer for some time and probably needs to also support your submission to actually become a thing. But I can speak for a large chunk of the base that I've talked to that is in there in Ingress. Like they all feel what I just said earlier, that if you put in there, this should be a Pokestop because we're already going, You're not following the rules. You're not submitting this for the betterment of the game. You're submitting it for the betterment of yourself, and you're already going to be an uphill battle.
Quite literally, the second one I reviewed just now,
I was going to laugh.
Is the back of a building, Thunderdome rear entrance. The Thunderdome is the location where trainers and masters converse on catching recent Pokemon. It is a sidewalk.
First off, You can deny it right there with the reason description, because you cannot say in your description Pokemon, Ingress, Portal. I realize some things have snuck through, like, you know, under the old rules when the player base wasn't doing it and Google was doing it themselves, some things snuck through. That's why you have, like, Shapers. Sometimes you see reference to Shapers or XM. Those are Ingress terms. But for now, when the player base is reviewing, just based on that description, they name check the game. That's not a point of interest. So rejected based on description. I don't even have to look at where it is or the picture itself. The description's bad enough.
And I have seen that the like churches, temples, like stuff like that, that people say in the description, oh, people come here to pray, to get shinies. And I'm like, really, people, really?
But, well, one star. But, yeah. One star, because you're submitting something with a Pokemon reference, and you are forgetting that you're not submitting just for Pokemon Go. That's what I need the player base of Pokemon Go to understand. And I love both games. I am max level in Ingress and max level in Pokemon. So I can speak with some sense of authority for the Pokemon group too. And I need them to realize what they're submitting is not just for their game.
And yeah, and one more thing about this. There's a video on YouTube from Pokemon Go YouTuber Trainer Tips that explains really, really well how Wayfarer works. Like, in both points of view, from the submitter and also like a reviewer. So I suggest people that probably don't understand that much about Wayfarer and want to get into it and are submitting like Pokestop portals and all this stuff, that check that video. It's really informative.
But again, I don't want to keep this overly negative. There are some positive things that I'm seeing, you know, and especially like, you know, I saw one the other day that was like, this park has been here for 3 years. And this isn't the justification, not the description. This park has been here for 3 years and is still not in the game. And I'm looking and I'm like, yep, it's a park. It should be in the game. Okay, you can have your stop because it meets the criteria. It was a sign at a park that really should be there. And that's the type of stuff I love. Things that like parks and historical places, universities, I'm pretty, you know, pretty good about that stuff too. Places where people should be gathering anyway. You know, the wonderful thing about these games, it's getting people to use public parks. You know, I realize some cities have had issues with that, but they're stupid. For the most part, I think a lot of cities are really happy about it. Like, you know, I see food truck events that are like, come to our food truck event and, you know, we have Pokestops here you can play. You know, and so forth. So anyway.
And yeah, and I also feel like for rural players, because obviously they don't have like that many POIs, but at least I'm seeing more people like, especially here locally, from the outskirts and places that like are small towns, basically, that are getting submissions and all that stuff. And I'm pretty much if it's a legit one, if it's for approval, I usually give those 5 stars, even if it has like a kind of shady description. But sometimes it's people, and I know my people. I know my Mexican people. So yeah, basically.
While you were talking, I brought up something that SSJ100 Matt put in chat, and this is is a piece of work, for God's sake. So it's a picture of a fire hydrant that's been painted, and it's called American Flag Fire Hydrant. This fire hydrant was painted to resemble an American flag after the events of 9/11 in 2001. I believe that this Pokestop nomination is important because it stands as a symbol in a local community to help us remember what happened on September 11th, 2001, as well as what and who we lost. Through remembrance, we get stronger as people. Never forget. Okay.
It's a fucking fire hydrant.
It's a fucking fire hydrant. Yeah, one star. Obstructs emergency services. And quite frankly, sir or madam, how dare you? Because you're trying to leverage this tragedy so you can have a fucking Pokestop?
And
in front of your house, probably.
Just even apart from that, not the first time fire hydrants have been placed and painted as the flag. There was one in the 80s when I was a kid.
Which is, and you know, that's...
And I think it's actually illegal. It has to be done by city ordinance.
Well,
so.
One star obstructs emergency services, and you might be thinking, well, you don't have to be standing on the hydrant to access it. You aren't thinking of all the games, because in Ingress, sometimes you have to stand on the center of the portal if you want to remove shields with Ultra Strikes. Your submission blocks emergency services, one star.
Yep.
Basically, yeah.
So, anyway... And then SSJ100 Matt says, also Staten Island, just saying. All right.
We should have the Niantic Wayfarer review podcast.
Actually, okay, so I'm trying to talk to one of my Ingress buddies to convince her to do something. But anyway.
That would be hilarious.
I know.
It's a panel. We vote you out.
Anyway. All right. Thank you so much, ACTEFT. I'm going to let you go so we wrap up the show. But great conversation. Nothing gets me riled up like a shitty Pokestop.
Hey, thanks for having me, like always.
All right, take care, buddy.
You too.
All right. I think we're at the point of the show where it's time for us to wrap up. Unless, do we have any last-minute stories?
No, we didn't.
I saw something, and I actually downloaded it. I didn't look too much more into it, where someone did, like, this... I mean, it really just looks like it was done in, like, some... like, maybe Unreal Engine or something, some real-life world, but it's, like, a free-running Mario game. And it looks like one of the more recent, you know, 3D models and, you know, 3D Goombas and everything all in this just, like, overworld place. And I forgot the name of it. I downloaded it earlier, and if I could remember more about it. But I found it on Twitter. I'll have to see if I can find it again. But it's out there. It's just weird because it's got, like, realistic shading, even though it's, like, Mario. Just normal old Mario and Goombas. I didn't really see a point to it, but I'm like, oh, waste of time.
I got into this YouTube. Well, I just want to mention this because... I got into this, like, YouTube, I don't know, rabbit hole earlier about the IAAPA. So that's it's a convention for amusement parks and amusement park innovations and stuff like that. And one of the videos they showed on there was somebody playing a game that looked like on a Tron Light Cycle VR, but the game itself looked much like Wipeout or F-Zero. I'm like, that is a perfect combination of things right there.
It is a good combination of things. I like that. All right. Well, we're about to go around and get everybody's final thoughts for the night, but I do want to say happy Thanksgiving holiday to those of you here in the States that are celebrating Thanksgiving this week. But, you know, around the world, thanks to everybody that listens to and supports this show. We really do appreciate you guys. And, you know, you may have noticed tonight is episode number 799, which means next week will be episode number 800 of our show, believe it or not.
Any of you who are friends with my husband on the Facebook, just saying, ask him to be on the show.
So we're hoping we're going to have a good time and a good show to mark 800 episodes of this show. But I think it's an appropriate time of year to really give thanks to all of you that tune in to the show, whether it be here on Twitch as we record it live, or if you're listening on the podcast feed every week, you are just as important as well. And we hope you do feel you have a voice at the table. If you ever want to send us an email or a tweet or anything like that, we would not have the motivation to keep going because of you guys. Longevity does not always translate into mainstream success. However, I feel like there's been many success stories out of this show, and that is really thanks to you guys. You know, just a couple weeks ago, I was in New York City hanging out with some of yous, and I would not be doing that if it wasn't for this little program that we have here. Our little show, our little secret show that hates shitty Pokestop submissions. So just giving thanks to all of you guys who take time out of your week, whether it be here live on Sunday nights or at some point throughout the week, maybe while you're working or on your commute or what have you, to listen to this show. Really appreciate that, and thank you so much. On that note, let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Loki, I guess we'll start with you.
Hopefully I'll get to work more on my game during my time off this week.
My final thought is wish me luck. I might actually beat a Pokemon game. I'm making progress to beat Pokemon Shield. It looks
you
like
you are
it might
a
happen.
Pokemon game. Oh, I thought you said be a Pokemon
I
game.
I thought
no,
for
beat.
Sure that you beat Let's Go, but
I guess I only got as far as Pokemon Go Park, and I'm not counting Let's Go either because it's not a mainline game technically. It's kind of a side game. Close. I know, close. So my final thought is, yeah, I want to beat Pokemon Shield. And I forgot to give the little thing about a 5-star review wherever you found the show. Help us spread the word because we don't – if your friends and your fam and other people out there you know on the internet aren't here, we can't air those voices. So help us spread the word. The auto hosts on Twitch go a long way as well. And we
besides, we're definitely not worth 1-star because we don't block emergency services.
Sorry, we meet all – should I submit Studio N7 as a – no, I'm not going to submit it as Pokestop.
Because that would be bad.
Because that's – it would also give away my home address. That's not a good idea. Why would I do that? Anyway.
You can do it after you move.
Do it and then move.
Oh, then have like a little plaque in the backyard, historical site. No, because then my frenemy who plays for the other team, it'll be right next to them and I'll live on the other side of town. I'm not giving my frenemy another Pokestop or portal. Anyway, Dark Soccer, last but not least, your turn.
I got a shitty schedule at work starting in February. It's a 5 a.m. shift, which would keep me from here anyway. So wish me luck. I'm going to go petition my case. And yeah. I already mentioned it to the boss that I can't work before 8 o'clock and I can't work Sundays. So wish me luck.
Fingers and toes crossed, because that's going to be rough. If
And it's a six-month stint this time instead of 3 months.
Oh, golly.
All right. Yeah, I have been very specific about it.
All right, we'll keep us posted.
I will do.
All right. Well, I guess that's that. We're going to wrap up. So have a great holiday, those of you in the States. But no matter where you are, happy gaming this week. Have a great time. And we will see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio next week, episode number 800. Because we're old.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.